about.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You know, it's Valentine's Day.
It's almost the 14th of February. So try and guess why I'm so depressed. Wish you would send that Valentine, my friend. You should see the junk mail and all the bills that I've been getting in. And if I get one more thing from Ed McMahon, I'll kill my mailman, yeah.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. I just, threw up in my mouth a little bit.
That's the most romantic thing I've ever heard.
Aren't you love, baby? Yeah!
F me, F me, F me! F me, F me, F me!
Welcome to my humble chamber, or as I call it, the Love-nasium.
Ooh! I never want to make love to another man again.
And I never want to make love to another man either.
Ooh!
Happy Valentine's Day.
It's St. Valentine's Day.
And now,
ooh.
Our feature presentation.
I don't even know how you do that on accident.
I feel so stupid. It's Valentine's Day and I'm dressed as a goblin. I'm so confused.
How does that happen? How does that happen?
Well, I will tell you one part of it.
Yes.
We were listening to it before you came in,
right,
before he played it. And the only part I heard is the, and
right,
I said, oh, yes, play that, play that. So
you're to blame?
Possibly.
Now, the person who's supposed to listen to it, look, here's the thing. We have, I don't know, 5 specialized intros, maybe 5 total, like completely specialized. We have one for Ramadan. We
right,
have one for Valentine's Day. And Valentine's Day is... That's become the joke now because, I don't know, when was it? Muggs, last year?
Yeah, last year we played Ramadan.
On some...
Oh, on Valentine's Day, right?
On Valentine's Day, right.
Ramadan.
Not that one. We didn't play that one on Valentine's Day. So now every time it's like, hey, don't play the Valentine's one. And it's just, it's Halloween. You'd think.
Yeah.
You'd pick one that wasn't Valentine's Day, as it is not February 14th of any year. But, all right. Okay.
I'm to blame.
I know.
Yeah.
No one's trying to point a finger at anyone else.
And of course, you know, all the cards are going, you know, against me.
How are all the cards going against you?
I don't know what the saying is, but, I listened to all the parts that didn't have the Valentine's
Day. It said it 15 times.
Yeah. It's crazy that we missed it, but somehow we missed it.
It's not possible. Listen. Hang on. Let's get ready. It starts.
You don't mind. I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
Right.
You know, it's Valentine's Day.
All right, so right there it says it.
Nope, missed that part.
Yep.
All right.
It's almost the 14th of February.
Yeah, that part says it's the 14th of February.
I didn't hear it.
That's what it just said.
Yeah.
So try and guess why I'm so depressed. Wish you would send that Valentine, my friend.
Right, there's Valentine. Right there, there's that.
You should see the junk mail and all the bills that I've been getting in. And if I get one more thing from Ed McMahon, I'll kill my mailman, yeah.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
That's the most romantic thing I've ever heard.
Aren't you love, baby? Yeah!
F me, F me, F me.
Alright, so romance, 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 F me, F me, F me.
F me, F me, F me!
Welcome to my humble chamber, or as I call it, the Love-nasium.
Ooh!
That's the part you heard and you voted
yes,
for, Lisa?
And I voted for that. Yeah. Who wouldn't?
Who wouldn't?
Are you kidding?
Never want to make love to another man again.
And I never want to make love to another man either.
Ooh!
Yeah, love song.
Can't get enough of your love, babe.
Happy Valentine's Day.
There it is. Pretty. That was hard to hear. He does drag it out for 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day.
Oh, how about that? Homer Simpson said Valentine's Day.
And now,
ooh,
our feature presentation.
So there you go. I got to tell you, the odds, and it's just labeled generically, so the odds against that happening are 365 to 1, I guess.
It's one of those days, Kevin.
Probably more than 365 to 1 because we have way more intros than that.
Yeah.
So, good times. Nice work.
Thanks.
Nice Yay. Work, Lux. How does that happen?
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
I really don't know how that happens. Even on accident, it's not possible that that happens. All right, let's talk about today's Valentine's Day show, even though it's Halloween.
Okay.
We have Andrew Siciliano in the studio talking football. Had some bizarre games over the weekend. So we're going to catch up on that. We have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com talking about all the celebrities and what they did over the weekend. We're going to take your calls on your Halloween disasters. Or Valentine's Day, either way. Call with either one. Halloween disasters. It seems like any time people get together and there's alcohol, things go south.
Of course. There's a lot of parties over the weekend.
Been to a lot of parties. Been to a lot of parties where there's blood. Been to one where our former sports guy Money got hit in the head with a bottle. Mm-hmm. That was good times. So we got that coming up as well. Beer Mug was out at the Halloween Pet Parade.
Yes, the Pet Parade.
Yesterday. Woo! And he was interviewing some of the crazy people who dress their pets up for Halloween. Don't do that.
Unless they're cute.
Nope. They're always cute because you think
then
your dog...
do that.
You think you're... Oh, unless they're cute girls?
No.
Oh.
No.
The pets.
The pets.
Yeah, no. They don't
care about the girls.
They're not having fun. The pets are not having fun.
They might know they're cute.
Nope. if they know they're cute, they know they're cute anyway. They don't need to put a costume on them.
Well, pretty girls know they're pretty. They don't need to put on a short dress either, but they do, don't they?
Your dog needs a costume because it's not cute. I mean, your dog's the only one that really demands it.
He's cute in that, aren't I hideous? How can you love me?
So we got that coming up. We also have, I guess Omar went in. He's our DJ here, and DJ Omar Khan. He put some beats together with Halloween Spooks. He's tired of hearing me complain about how bad the song is.
Oh, so he's changed it up.
Well, he's going to try and make it palatable for me so that it kind of brings it into, I don't know, at least the 20th century, if not the 21st.
DJ Omar Khan.
So we got that coming up as well. And Angels and Airwaves, the entire band will be in the studio. We've got a new song from Love Part 2
mm-hmm.
that we're going to play for you. And we're going to talk to the guys about their new CD / DVD / movie / graphic novel /.
Slash is in the band?
Nope, not. Not at all. And toys, some kind of toys that they're made. I don't know.
Wow.
They've lost their minds a little bit. So Angels and Airwaves in the studio as well. We'll take a break and we will come back with the Ralph Showbiz. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We have Angels and Airwaves coming up on this morning's show. They're going to come in and world premiere song from their new CD, Love Part 2. We also have Beer Mug at the Halloween Pet Parade. He went down there. How many people were down there? Were there really 400 pets?
So many pets. I couldn't even count.
Hello, check. One, is this thing on?
No, they all sound
a little weird. Hello, check. This is weird.
Yeah.
Sounds odd.
Can you pump that up?
Like, it is pumped up.
Mm.
Check. This is checking 1, 2.
Yeah, it's not pumped up at all.
Mugs
is on
awesome.
Fire.
I pumped up. I got really loud.
That's who I pumped up.
Oh, how about that?
Thank you, Mugs.
What's happening with you?
All of you kids with your pumped up kicks.
Are you all right?
I'm all right.
You're not all right.
I'm all right.
You're the worst ever.
I'm all right.
Beer Mug went down to the Valentine Pets Parade, by the way. I don't know if you heard or not. So we'll be hearing from that down there in Long Beach. God damn it.
Really unbelievable.
All right.
5:51, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It is Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Puss in Boots. That is one popular cat. $34 million made him number one this weekend.
Wow.
Boy, that's the business to get into. Make some animated movies.
Kids' movies.
Horror movies and animated movies. That's what you should make. Just from now on. That's it. Paranormal Activity 3 was number two at the box office. $18.5 million. In Time, the new Justin Timberlake action thriller came in with $12 million in its debut weekend. Good enough to make it number three. Footloose was fourth. The Rum Diary, which a movie I saw this weekend and loved.
You thought it was good?
Yeah. And this debut only made $5 million. However, of course, it was in limited release, so it's not too bad. Real Steel was sixth. The Three Musketeers came in at number seven. Ides of March, Moneyball, and Courageous rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. This is spectacular. This is magical. Kris Jenner has a book out now.
Oh, my God.
Shouldn't you have to take some sort of test or something before you get to write a book?
This is Kim Kardashian's mom?
Yeah.
No, there's no test.
I mean, lately with Tyra Banks writing her book and Snooki writing her book, it just seems like there should be some sort of exam you have to take. You know, just like to drive a car, just some sort of basic competency level.
Like, make them write a paragraph.
Right. Or an essay or something. Mm-hmm. We get to grade it. Kris Jenner talks about her close relationship with Nicole Simpson. Of course, the ex-wife of OJ.
Okay.
That some people say he had something to do with her death, OJ Simpson.
Some people say
some
that.
Some people say that, yeah. Kris Jenner says in her book, she knew that OJ would kill her best friend and get away with it.
And get away with it.
Yes.
Wow. Wow,
she's
psychic.
Yes.
She's got a lot of knowledge.
Hey, and by the way, if you know your best friend's going to die, give her a heads up, maybe. Kris claims that shortly before her murder, Nicole told her she felt she was being stalked and that someone was looking through her windows. When she was killed, Kris said, I knew OJ had something to do with it. And I couldn't believe the running back was acquitted of the charges.
This is...
Yeah.
This is the inner book.
He'd been your husband! Who helped him get off? Maybe he could have done something, picked up a phone. Of course, they were divorced at the time, but still.
Yeah.
That should be a good book to read. While we're talking about the Kardashian clan, people are very upset with Kim.
Now what?
Well, I don't know if you heard about it or not, but her brother Rob is still competing on Dancing with the Stars.
Okay.
So, apparently Kim ticked off millions of fans of Dancing with the Stars last week when she sent out a tweet saying, Justin Bieber's phone number is 1-800-868-4302. I urge everyone to give him a call.
And that's the number to vote for?
That was the number to vote for her brother, yeah. So some contestants think he should be disqualified for cheating.
Really?
Yes. Some are calling her lame.
No, they're not.
Saying that the stunt was flat out cheating. She should be reprimanded. It's Dancing with the Stars, people.
Yeah, take it easy.
Relax. It's made people weren't upset about the hanging chads. But now they're upset at Dancing with the Stars. They don't care.
Fantastic.
From the Gore Bush election that got him upset. It was the Rob Kardashian mirror ball vote.
Yeah.
Michael Lohan. He's the best.
Now in jail? Out of jail. Where is he?
He's currently in jail, Lisa. You may remember last week he was in jail for violating the restraining order against his ex-girlfriend and also on charges of assault. And then he got out of jail on bail, so the first thing he did was start making harassing phone calls to her, to which that landed him back in jail after he jumped from a third-floor balcony trying to escape police. Well, he's back in jail now, and he showed up in court in handcuffs and a wheelchair Saturday morning because he broke his foot. And the judge refused his request for bail.
Really?
No bail for you.
I can see that. He went straight out after he got out last time.
He committed the same crime. Lohan's lawyer argued, this is my favorite part, that he needed bail because his client had important obligations.
What?
Like an appearance with Dr. Drew Pinsky, a celebrity boxing match, and had to be at his daughter Lindsay's court appearance this Wednesday.
My God, his family.
Judge did not bite, sent him straight back to jail.
He until can just say hi to her when she comes to jail.
Yeah, exactly.
No problem.
He can Skype.
That's unbelievable.
And are you fans of the CW? Well, you'll be very happy to know that Hulu.com has set up a deal with the CW where they will begin streaming episodes of their current shows this year. So if you like watching Ringer or Heart of Dixie or The Secret Circle or Vampire Diaries or Gossip Girl, Supernatural, Nikita, 90210, and America's Next Top Model, all of those shows from the CW will be available for streaming on Hulu.com. So you can check that out.
That's great. They're not going to be, it's not going to be the current one, is it? I mean, it's going to be a little bit behind.
I think they'll air first.
Yeah.
And then, immediately afterwards, it'll be available on Hulu.
That's great.
So you can check it out. And The Lion King was a big hit in 3D for their re-release. So other films are taking the hint and doing the same. You can look for a 3D re-release of Titanic.
Really?
Yeah.
That didn't make enough money?
Apparently not. Just announced the converted movie will come out just days before the 100th anniversary of the Titanic's launch and sinking April 10th, 1912. Made more than $600 million in its first release. Second only to Avatar. So I guess James Cameron wants to beat that guy who directed that Avatar movie. Show him a thing or two.
Dude's got the top two movies.
It is kind of ridiculous.
You wouldn't think that'd be possible. Just keep getting more money.
While we're talking about movies, Fraggle Rock is returning as a full-length feature film. Did you love the Fraggle Rock?
No.
Remember the Fraggle Rock? You don't remember the Fraggle Rock? Down in Fraggle Rock. We're going to have to get that theme. That's a great theme song. I love that theme.
No.
Jim Henson's company will produce the film. The original TV series premiered on HBO way back in 1983, ran for 5 seasons, but was very popular. And Justin Timberlake is doing very well for himself. Not only does he have the third most popular film in America right now with In Time, but apparently he is going to be the lead in the new Coen Brothers movie. A movie called Inside Llewellyn Davis.
Yeah,
I read it. That was good. Apparently it's based on the life of a popular Greenwich Village folk singer from the 60s. Justin Timberlake would play the lead role, and Carey Mulligan apparently would play his wife in that film.
Does he do music?
He used to.
Anymore?
He may do it in this if it's a folk singer. He may be obligated.
But is it going to be folk music?
Yeah, that's the only drawback.
Yeah,
right,
don't need that.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Ron Rifkin, very talented actor who was on Alias. Remember, he played Arvid Sloan on Alias.
He was great in that.
Brothers and Sisters.
No, he's not on that. No such show. He is 72 years old. Peter Jackson, director of the Lord of the Rings trilogy, famously 50 years old. Larry Mullen of U2 is 50 years old. Rob Schneider. Yeah, funny man Rob Schneider. He's 47 years old today. Mike O'Malley plays Kurt's dad on Glee. He's 46. Ad-Rock of the Boys. He's 45 years old. So you can get that right. You just can't pull up the right intro.
That's the first thing. Good.
And singer, actress, superstar Willow Smith. She is whipping her hair back and forth this morning as she celebrates her birthday.
Did you say superstar?
Superstar. She's 11 years old today.
Wow.
11 years old. 11 years old.
He's 11.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Coming up on today's show, we have Angels and Airwaves in the studio about an hour from now. We're going to play a new song of theirs from Love Part 2. Also, have Beer Mug at the Halloween Pet Parade yesterday. Apparently, he was
Ramadan Pet Parade. Ramadan Pet Parade.
Harvey Levin and Andrew Siciliano also coming up. What's wrong with you, Ralph?
What's wrong with Kevin? That's the break today. That's what our segment is called. What's wrong with Kevin?
Oh, we'll never answer that.
Well, we have to start.
In this particular case, right. I think I have it all figured out.
Do you?
Yeah, I mean, I really think
you're weird.
I've nailed it down.
The other day, we were talking with Kevin, and you know, you work someone for years and years and years. You think you have a pretty good beat on them. You think you have an idea of what they're all about. And then you find out that he's insane.
No, please.
Kevin, well, explain to people what you do at concerts of people. These are musicians. These are artists that you really love. Explain to people how you behave at these concerts and what you do.
Here's the part Ralph's talking about. I have a favorite song from an artist. Usually, they put it in the encore, and I don't know. I just have, I've always had this thing where I want to leave during the best song. And that way, it's the ultimate experience because everything else is built up to this. This is my favorite song, and I'm walking out. Whatever comes after it can't be better because this is my favorite song.
But you're turning away from the stage.
Yes.
You're walking up the stairs.
Yes,
you're walking down the aisle.
Right, and I'm hearing.
But you're not.
You're not even staying really for the entirety of your favorite song.
I stay for about 2/3 and then I start walking because that guarantees a great concert experience. And I'm going to go, wow.
How much could it take away from your concert experience to stay and watch the entire performance of the band?
God damn it.
How much could it ruin your night? If you watch your
it.
Favorite song in its entirety and then see another song or two that they play before you leave, like everyone else does, after the concert is over.
I don't know. I go to a lot of concerts.
I understand that.
Okay.
So I mean, you have to leave during the favorite song. So as you're walking away, you can have that be the soundtrack to your walk to your car.
Then I go, what an amazing show.
That I didn't see all of.
What
an amazing show that I almost saw in its entirety.
98% of it.
Unless they play their big hit song at the open, at the beginning of the show. What if the first show, they come out, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Fart Knockers. And Fart Knockers comes out.
Fart Knockers has a lot of hits.
And they open up with their big hit, Clench the Sphincter. And they're really rocking Clench the Sphincter, and that's like their big hit, and they're doing that to get the band jammed up. Now what do you do? Now most you have to walk to your car during the first song of the concert you just bought tickets for.
If that's the case, I don't leave. But then I pick my second favorite one or whatever. It has to
got
be
a lot of rules.
It has to be near the end of the show. I don't know. I've just always done it this way. I just always.
It's weird.
I don't know anyone else who says they leave a concert early, especially during their favorite song.
But see.
No, I don't. I don't see it all.
As you're walking away, you're going, wow, this is great.
You know what I'm saying? Wow, this is great. While I'm in my seat watching my band perform, that's when I say, wow, this is great. Not walking into the car in the parking lot. And that's never the great part of a concert for me.
Since you always do that, you don't actually have any idea how you would feel if you actually just stayed for the whole show.
Like I haven't.
I bet it wouldn't be like a big come down.
No, it would ruin the experience, Lisa. If he doesn't walk out during the best song, he goes home. And he just kicks his dog because it just ruined the whole show for him.
I'm the only one that does that?
Yeah.
Unless there are someone out there, 1-800-520-1067. If you are like Kevin and you leave concerts during your favorite songs, please call.
And then I made the mistake of telling Ralph, if I'm watching a sporting event or something and I can't finish it, I know that I have something else to do, I'm not going to have time to finish it. Just before it seems like something good's going to happen, I pause it. That way, I go, and I don't stick around and wait to see if something good happens. I pause it, and that way I really want to get back to it. So then I leave, and when I come back, I'm all excited, and then I want to know something good is about to happen, and then I continue playing.
Are you afraid you'll just forget?
That's possible.
You don't leave it at that peak moment. You'll just completely forget that you didn't finish watching
that game.
Don't
you really want to get back to the game regardless of where you paused it?
You do that with TV shows, too, right?
If you're probably interested enough to go back to watch it, then that draw is still going to be there. You don't have to manufacture some false moment of tension.
It's not false. It's tension, and it's great.
But in sports, you never know if something's going to happen or not. Oh, it's 4th and 1. They're going to go for it.
Let's say, for example, that my Arizona Cardinals didn't suck. Let's say that they have a habit of coming back late.
Right.
If they were coming back and it was 1:20 and they were on the 40-yard line of the other team, mm-hmm. and I know I have someplace else to be, I'll stop it right there because I'll go, yes, this is going to be great. And then when I get back, I'm all excited to watch it because they might take it in. That makes sense.
That might happen regardless of where you pause it. Whatever fake moment of tension you build up on your TiVo. It is, because you could stop it anywhere and just leave and come back, and the same result's going to be there.
Right, but I won't be as excited to come back because...
Why?
Because the buildup, there's a huge buildup.
You build it up. There's no buildup. It's something you created in your head.
That's possible. You've never seen a concert where they played a couple songs too many and you go, eh.
If I'm at a concert, it's because I want to see this band live.
Me too.
Whatever they're doing, I'm interested in watching because I'm watching them do it live.
I'm not a smart guy.
And then what do you do with sporting events that are live? What do you do about live sporting events, Kevin?
Well, I've got rules for live sporting events as well. Well, see, here's...
Oh, I want to hear
these.
Oh,
it's amazing, Lisa. It's amazing.
Here's part of the problem. Part of the problem is that I do have to get up early. So I am interested in not sitting in traffic at the end of a game. So,
uh-huh.
Right? Okay. So my rules are... If my team is leading with 2 minutes to go, let's say the Kings are ahead with 2 minutes to go, I'm fine to leave. You know why? Because what are the possibilities that could happen? We could score again.
You're not talking about a blowout. You're not talking about it's 8-0. You're walking out.
No.
This is any win.
Let's say it's 2-0, and
okay.
It's 3 minutes to go. Let's say it's that. All right, Kings are ahead 2-0. I leave because if I stay, I get stuck in traffic. But also the only major thing that could happen is the other team could come back, in which case I don't want to be there and see it because that sucks. So I leave. Now, if my team's behind 1-0, never leave because I want to see my team come back. See, it makes sense.
But you don't want to see your team win.
Oh, I've watched my team win.
But no, you haven't because the game's not over yet and you're out the door.
But I'm there.
So you don't want to be there for the final moment when you get to appreciate the win, when everyone collectively says, yes,
that's
our
right.
team won?
You mostly miss the win all the time because there's a lot of times when you stay where they're behind, they're not going to come back.
That's...
So you are going to experience the loss there.
Yeah. You'll
really...
watch the loss every time till the end,
yes.
But you won't appreciate the win till the end.
No, but the win you also appreciate because you've been there. You've seen the whole game. You've scored 2 goals. You're ahead 2-0.
But at least you've seen every second of the losses.
Well,
the wins you missed out on, but the losses you've seen in their entirety.
But if the other team comes back, do you want to sit there and go, wow, that's a bummer?
No, I'd rather just sit there and watch them lose all the way to the end.
I like to build up. I like to build up the tension, and maybe they're going to come back. And then I'm really excited to get back to my seat from the bathroom.
All right, let's talk to Tim.
Your insanity.
That's the only other person I've ever found that agrees with me. I'm glad you exist, Tim.
Tim, right. What do you do at concerts?
At the very end, the last song's coming on. It's my song, and I tell my wife, let's go. And she's like, what? No, let's go.
It's your song. It means your favorite song.
Oh, yes.
You leave during your favorite song.
We rock all the way to the car and beat traffic out of the damn parking lot.
So you get to enjoy the show, and on a super high note.
Nothing. There's no better way to watch a concert, by the way, with your back turned to the stage walking out the door. That really is the best visual and audio experience you can have at a concert.
And then my wife is looking at me like, really?
Yeah,
really?
She's right. You're wrong. But she's right. You're insane.
But Tim, don't you set her up that way? I mean, basically, she knows by now, right?
I said 10 years. You've been married to me 10 years. Right. This is what we do.
Right.
It's what we do. It's what you do. You and Kevin.
You leave on a high note. That way it's a high note. You had a great experience.
The whole concert's a high note for me.
It is. The whole concert is to me, too.
Except and on top of that, when we go to the Angels game, I do the same thing at the very end. And my kids are looking at me like, what? No, we're leaving now.
Meaning that if the Angels are ahead, you'll leave. But if they're behind, you won't.
Right. Exactly.
See, it makes sense.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
It's tragic.
No,
it's tragic.
I blow by all the drunk people. I'm home. They're in bed. Boom.
That's so you've just become a slave to traffic. Whatever traffic dictates, that's how you live your life, you coward.
It does.
Traffic. I live in Los Angeles. It's horrible.
And I live in Los Angeles, too, and I stay for entire concerts.
Traffic blows.
Oh, I better leave movies soon, too. If I can figure out the ending to how what's going to happen to Johnny Depp in the Rum Diary, I should probably just pick up my popcorn and walk out because I figured it. I know how it's going to end. I'm just going to leave. I'm going to, I hear Johnny Depp's voice as I walk out to my car. It'll be the high note of the movie
for
me.
You don't understand. We're not leaving a half hour before anything. We're leaving like 2 minutes.
When is your favorite song? You don't know when your favorite song is going to be played. You don't know.
It's almost always in the encore.
You don't know what's coming on afterwards.
Almost
You don't
always.
Know the special guests they're going to bring out from the wings. our good buddy Elton John is going to come out and play piano for us right now, and this is our final song.
If Rage Against the Machine brings out Elton John, I don't want to see that. What, Tim?
There's a couple times it didn't work for me. Like, the Angels hit this huge home run, and I missed it.
You were in the parking lot.
I was in the parking lot driving away.
Yeah, serves you right.
Right, but all the other time that he saved, maybe it's worth it.
No, it's not. Don't go then.
You know how
you beat traffic, Tim?
Nice.
Stay the F at home. That's how you beat traffic in the final analysis.
I think Tim and I have it all figured out.
I think you two should sign a mutual suicide pact.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, Angels and Airwaves in the studio just after the top of the hour. We're going to world premiere a song for you and talk about the new album, talk about the movie, talk about everything that's going on in their world. It is Halloween Day, and this is the song that's been driving me crazy. It feels like I'm the only one who hates it. Bean loves it. Ralph loves it. Lisa loves it.
I'm definitely in favor.
Halloween spooks outside my window. Halloween spooks behind the tree.
They start going, ooh.
Yeah. The best part.
Exactly.
And that drives me crazy. I can't stand it. So I sent DJ Omar Khan in to do a little work on it.
Yep.
Maybe somehow make it palatable for me.
Yeah, I wanted to get your groove onto it. So I did a couple of mixes here.
Okay, what's the first one?
The first one, I know you're all about hip-hop and the hip-hop nation.
You know me.
Yeah. So I put a little hip-hop beat under it.
All right. Halloween. It's way better. Now, if we could just take the Halloween spook singing part out, that would be a great song.
I also know how you like to shake that ass.
You know me.
And you know. So I did a little house remix here.
I'm not sure that works entirely.
All right. Mashups are huge.
Sure. Sure.
So I mashed it up with Run DMC. I know you like Run DMC with Walk This Way.
I do, yes.
Wait. No, hold on. No, I edited out the clips.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Right. So we're good.
Oh, you can tell me that.
Yeah,
that
sorry. My bad.
That'd be helpful.
All right.
No, either,
yeah.
Is that the very first one you tried?
No.
No. Really?
Wait, that's not the first one you tried?
Wow.
What do you mean?
Well, it didn't.
Did you
really
try
work.
Any other mashups?
Oh no, no.
Okay.
I just went. I just did. You know, just went. Went
DJ Omarcon.
I know. He's a huge Michael Jackson fan.
Sure.
So I figured, you know, put some Michael Jackson under Halloween spooks, and he was gonna love it.
Kind of work.
Yeah. I like that.
I'd like a full version of that. Can you whip that up?
I will. And then, you know, dubstep music, this horrible, horrible trend of music.
Yeah,
dubstep.
You hate it so much.
I hate it so much.
Omar has cartoon hate for dubstep.
Yeah, I hate dubstep. Dubstep is awful. but you know, nevertheless, I try to do one.
That's a disaster.
Dubstep sucks, though, right? Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not a big fan. By the way, it's still getting more popular by the day.
It totally is. I don't understand it. Right. Drum and bass. I figure, you know, maybe the song needs a little bit more energy.
Okay.
You know? So I put some drum and bass under it.
Awesome.
If you'd like to hire DJ Omar Khan, where do they go?
Just go to djomarkhan.com, or there's a link at kevinbean.com, and you can hire me, and I could do your horrible mashup.
DJ Omar Khan.
He'll play any of those songs that you want.
Absolutely.
Let me think about those. Okay, see right. How it goes for...
I can do a long version of the Michael Jackson
That's
one.
That's all right.
All right.
Angels and Airwaves in a half hour. Got some brand new music for you. We're going to talk about their movie and their new CD that's available soon.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming up. Right now, we're... You know, everybody complains about referees. Everybody that's a sports fan.
Sure.
Referees drive you crazy because you really don't want them getting in there and making mistakes, and then it's their fault, kind of your team gets behind or whatever. But this particular one, and there you can watch this video at kevinandme.com or krock.com, is in the Czech Republic, and it's a soccer game, and the referee showed up completely drunk.
No kidding.
Completely drunk. And apparently he was falling over just for no reason.
Oh, my God.
And three players came up to him and asked him if he was okay, and he gave him a red card, which in soccer means you have to go not only off the field but to the locker room, and they can't be replaced.
For asking him if he's okay?
Yes. Yes. And then he came out and he could barely stand up, and then the video that's up there is of him trying to walk off the field, and he literally, it looks like he's holding his back. It looks like he's being pulled by gravity in different directions. It's one of those really funny things where you go, I can't believe anybody would be that crazy drunk.
Oh my God.
At a sporting event. Here's the news.
In black. Now, he appears to suffer a pain in his lower back, but on closer inspection, it's clear the referee is blindly drunk. Well, it was getting that way gradually throughout the second period. Team officials attempt to escort the 247-game veteran off the field, but the straight-line walk proves somewhat difficult. No one knows what happened for certain, but that halftime cup of tea looks to have had more than just milk and sugar in it.
Yeah, so then they walk out and they try and grab him and get him to come off the field, and then he pulls his hand away like he doesn't want any help.
Oh,
and
he's a good drunk.
Then they have to get like two or three different people out there, and they try to put his arm around their shoulder to try and carry him off. And at one point, he waves to the crowd on his way off. It's ridiculous.
It's a pass.
So we got the referee on hold. I thought we'd talk to him and find out just exactly what happened.
Okay.
Good morning, sir.
Hey, Kevin and Bede, how you guys doing today?
Good. Who's this?
This is David Hasselhoff. Hey, guys, the Hoff loves soccer.
Wait, you're a soccer ref in the Czech Republic?
That's right. You know, wow. The Czechs love Baywatch. Big hit over there.
Sure.
I didn't realize
that. And also Knight Rider, which they call Kochimakofatakushaparishataka.
What do they call it? I'm sorry.
Kochimakofatakushaka. So I picked a little side job as a soccer referee, and I tell you, that's a great sport.
Yeah. But then how come you were so drunk? What happened?
I wasn't. I was just being a referee.
No, I've seen the video. If people watch it, you can barely stand up.
People are upset because I sent three players off the field.
We did, right?
But for no reason.
No, they had committed horrible penalties.
What were they?
I do not recall at this time.
Right. They asked you how you were.
Well, how dare they?
They said, are you okay?
Red card.
Wait, you can't give me a red card.
Yes, I can.
I'm not playing.
Get off the air.
I'm not playing a soccer game right now.
You are penalized.
I'm not penalized, sir. What was that?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I think I swallowed my whistle.
Why?
All right, corner kick.
What are you talking about?
This corner kick for you.
There's not a game going on right now.
All right. I'm going to just have a little breakfast drink then.
Mm. You don't want to. Don't do that, Hoff.
Oh, it's just coffee. It's just coffee. Or okay. Hoffy, as I like to call it.
Yeah. It doesn't involve any alcohol in the coffee, though?
It's vodka.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you call it coffee.
I did the right thing. That's all I'm saying.
You did the right thing by throwing out three players?
They deserved it. They are not good players.
They asked you if you were okay.
How old am I? I'm okay.
They said, are
I'm
you?
I'm all right.
Well, then why throw them off the field?
Too? I'm all right. This is a mess.
Oh, yeah. Come on now.
I sing.
What are you talking about?
I sing face off outside the zone.
That's hockey. You're not. There's not a soccer game.
Illegal hands to the face.
That's football.
What? 5 yards.
Are you,
automatic first down.
You're not reffing a sporting event right now.
That ball was foul. Tipped off.
Baseball. Not
tipped off the foot of the hockey player.
World Series just ended. Baseball doesn't hit a hockey player.
High sticking 15 yards, personal foul,
David,
corner kick from
maybe you shouldn't be
third base.
Charge of, maybe you shouldn't be in charge of any sporting event.
Oh, that was a home run.
Okay, it's baseball's over.
I'm the...
You all right?
What?
Don't ask me if I'm all right. Red card. Red card for you.
But you're clearly not all right.
All
right, what was that again?
Kid, get me out of here.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q.
Woo!
And it is 6:51.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
It's not Valentine's Day.
What? I heard this morning Halloween. On my favorite radio show that it was Valentine's Day. I heard it.
That was just Beer Mug playing the wrong stuff.
What?
Which seems to happen every holiday.
Dude, this is Yeah. This is a new level for the mugs. This is a mess.
Yeah, it's a new level for the mugs.
Got
the
Angels and Airwaves coming up just after the top of the hour. World premiere of their song, Surrender, which we're going to play right after Ralph takes a look.
Surrender, but don't give yourself away.
No, it's not that one. Different. Oh. It's a brand new song.
Brand new song.
Yeah.
All right. Looking forward to that.
It's Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Puss in Boots.
How are you gonna make a porn version of that one? That's what I want to know. That title just doesn't lend itself.
Does very well in 3D animation, starring Antonio Banderas. It's Puss in Boots. $34 million in its debut. Made it number one this weekend.
Ow.
That hurt.
Paranormal Activity.
That actually did.
Well, don't do that.
I won't.
Paranormal Activity 3 did very well at number two with $18.5 million. I thought I'd do better Halloween weekend and all, but I guess everybody went the first week it came out.
$18 million is not bad, though,
not
right?
Not bad at all. In Time, the new Justin Timberlake thriller, was third at the box office with $12 million. Then Footloose at number four, The Rum Diary, starring Johnny Depp. Which I went to see on Friday night, did very well, not very well, did okay, considering it was in limited release, $5 million, made it number five at the box office. Then Real Steel, The Three Musketeers, Ides of March, Moneyball, and Courageous rounding out the top ten. I didn't realize it until I read the reports this morning regarding the box office that The Rum Diary was a very expensive film to make. It doesn't look like an expensive film, it's sort of a straight-ahead drama. It's a period piece, but it's not... over the top.
How expensive?
The $50 million to make.
Wow.
For a little drama, or dramedy, I guess you'd say.
Wow.
Sort of a dark comedy. That's a very expensive film. $50 million budget. So it's got a lot to make up for before it starts making a profit. Speaking of Johnny Depp, he is lucky to be alive. Apparently Johnny was a bit of a wild card when he was a young man. Played by his own rules.
Yeah.
When he was a kid... He thought it would be cool to chug gasoline.
Oh.
Fill his mouth with gasoline, then blow it into a torch.
That isn't good for you.
Who hasn't done that? Use a lighter and...
With gasoline?
Yeah.
Look who you're talking to. Pyro Boy.
You've never done it with gasoline.
I don't remember what I used.
I'm betting it wasn't gasoline. You might have used
that seems worse.
Alcohol of some kind, you know.
Could have been alcohol.
Yeah.
With me.
Yeah, probably. It was just your breath. You didn't even need to swill anything. You would just breathe on a Bic lighter and you'd get a blue wall of flame.
That isn't good for you.
Johnny used gasoline, and when he blew it out into the torch, it turns out the fumes of gasoline are as volatile as the actual gasoline itself, and his head caught on fire.
Sweet.
He said he was lucky because a friend was there to grab him and put his head out. Johnny says, don't try that at home, by the way. Do not attempt to blow gasoline into an open flame out of your mouth, because odds are you will catch on fire.
And that's...
Imagine that pretty face, ruined, scarred with burns. That would have been horrible.
What would we have done?
He is a good-looking fellow, that Johnny. And he doesn't seem to be aging very much at all.
It's absurd.
He's 50. I think he's pushing 50, if he's not 50 already. On the big screen, he looks like he's about 27.
Yeah. He looked like that when he's 20. He's going to look like that when he's 70.
God damn him. And speaking of looks, up on the big screen.
Yeah.
Amber Heard plays the female lead in The Rum Diary.
Yeah.
She is breathtaking.
She's something.
The camera loves her. And this movie takes place in 1960, so it's that Mad Men kind of thing with those dresses that are all booby and the hair and the makeup and everything. And there's just some scenes in there where you're like, I can't, but she's stunning.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Very entertaining film. She's a lot like Chaz Bono in that regard.
Nope.
I find Chaz Bono stunning on the screen when I watch her on Dancing with the Stars. I'm sorry, him. Yes. The reason I said her is because Nancy Grace is talking about Chaz.
Ugh.
And she and he apparently are new best friends.
No.
What an odd mix.
What?
The experience on the show together has bonded the two. Chaz and Nancy are just the best of friends.
That's bullshit.
Chaz was kidding with a reporter afterwards, saying that they have just fallen in love while working on the show together. And then Chaz added jokingly that we'll probably leave our spouses potentially for one another. Now, I know that's a joke, but I would love to see
that'd be pretty good.
Chaz and Nancy get together and be happily ever after.
Fast.
That would be the best. Michael Lowen, still cooling his heels in a Florida jail cell. You may remember last week I mentioned the fact that he was arrested for assault.
Guilty!
He had reportedly roughed up his ex-girlfriend, Kate Major, and then when he got out on bail for that charge, he promptly started calling her and harassing her on the phone.
Guilty!
Cops picked him up again. Well, they tried to. He jumped off a third-story balcony in an attempt to escape the police and broke his foot. So he was in a wheelchair Saturday morning in front of a court.
Isn't this the stuff that you and I did when we were 12?
Yeah.
13?
Yeah. And his judge said, all right, how much for bail this time? And the judge said, his lawyer rather said, how much for bail this time? The judge said, no.
That guy. What do you need him for?
I don't think so much this time. I don't think bail really
no bail
serves.
Don't they just set
justice very well?
Ridiculously high so they can't afford it? Or
they do that sometimes.
Not even that.
They don't have to. They don't have to allow for bail.
Wow.
They can remand you until your court date. And that's exactly what happened. Now, Michael's lawyer was very upset, saying that Michael has important obligations he has to fulfill. He's got an appearance on a Dr. Drew show and a celebrity boxing match.
Well,
the judge, as you can understand, immediately reversed his position and just let him free.
Wait
a minute. He said, I don't care about the Dr. Drew show or your celebrity boxing match.
Is this how Michael makes money?
I guess.
Yeah, I would have to
be. He's not making any money on the Drew appearance. I'm sure that was just he was just going to guest on one of Drew's 14 shows.
Right.
But how does the lawyer say that with a straight face, you know?
I guess you're going to try anything. Michael said he also would like to be in court on Wednesday when Lindsay has her court appearance for her probation violation.
Yeah, you'll see her soon enough. Take it easy.
But the good news is that Lindsay won't be alone. She apparently has asked her mom, Dina, to fly in from New York for the hearing. And Dina said, all right, if I have to, stop bothering me. I'm partying and drinking and having my photo taken.
Is that going to help, do you think, having her mom there?
I don't think it's going to matter one way or the other.
You think she's in trouble? They're going to revoke her?
I don't know.
That judge sure was angry.
That judge does hate her.
She's had it with her.
However, by all accounts, she has been doing her time at the morgue consistently and is being a good soldier down there doing her probation, her community service hours at the LA County Morgue.
That's baloney. It doesn't make sense.
So it may show that at least she's trying to comply with the judge's orders.
Whereas before, she wasn't even trying.
Before, she was blowing it off. She made like 9 scheduled appearances to the Women's Center, didn't show, would work for an hour, then split. So she may have done herself some good recently. We're going to have to wait and see.
When does Playboy come out?
No word yet on which issue she'll be appearing in, but I will be picking up a copy. The Wayans brothers are bringing back In Living Color. Remember that show on Fox, In Living Color?
Yeah.
That was the show that gave Jim Carrey his big break. David Alan Grier, our buddy Dag, who was on the show last week. Jamie Foxx. All got their start on In Living Color. Jennifer Lopez.
The Fly Girls?
She was a Fly Girl, Jennifer Lopez. That's how she got her break. They are bringing it back in Living Color on Fox.
Really?
Yep. 2 half-hour specials next spring, and then if those do well, they're going to bring back an entire revamped series.
Now, are they getting Jim Carrey?
Brand new talent. No, brand new talent.
Oh.
So it's going to be a sketch comedy show along the lines of Saturday Night Live, that type of thing. And we'll see how it does. Look, who made any worse than Saturday Night Live?
Right? Yeah, well, that's true.
Have to wait and see. Today's celebrity birthdays, Ron Rifkin, very talented actor who was in Alias, played Arvid Sloan on that show for many seasons. Lisa seems to think he's on another show.
Brothers and Sisters.
Brothers and Sisters. If you're going to make up a show, Lisa, make up an interesting title, at least, for God's sake.
Sounds good.
72 years old today. Peter Jackson, Lord of the Rings fame, is 50. Larry Mullen of U2 is 50. Rob Schneider is 47 years old. Mike O'Malley from Glee is 46. Ad-Rock of the Beast.
Steve!
Boys, he is 45 years old. Adam Schlesinger from one of my favorite bands, Fountains of Wayne, is 44. Rob Van Winkle, musician Rob Van Winkle, celebrates his birthday today. You may know him better as... Ding, 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 digga, ding, ding. Ding, 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 digga, ding, ding. Vanilla Ice celebrates his 43rd birthday. And Willow Smith, son... Nope, daughter of Will and Jada Smith. She, of course, whips her hair back and forth.
That's
how we know her.
Yep.
With her smash hit song, I Whip My Hair Back and Forth. We'll have to maybe pull a little bit of that for the next hour and give people a little taste of...
A little tiny taste. Not much.
Of how I whip my hair back and forth.
Nope.
Oh, come on, Peter.
Nope.
See Family Guy last night, by the way? Anyone? Anyone see my performance as Jeff on Family Guy last night?
I didn't.
Abusive boyfriend of Quagmire's sister?
I taped it.
Oh, I appreciate your support. Thank you so
much. And my DVR ran out in Walking Dead, too, right when the kid's dying. Or not dying. I don't know what happened.
I don't either. Thanks, spoiler alert.
Well, you know he's on the bed, you know.
Yeah, I know, now. Yeah. Right. I hadn't seen last night yet.
I didn't see the end of it either, so I don't know what happened.
Well, then tell me everything.
No, I'm saying I don't know what
happened. I'm going to walk out of this concert while you're talking about it, so I can have the perfect experience. Right. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, we got a world premiere from Angels and Airwaves coming up next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. That song is called Surrender. It's brand new Angels and Airwaves, and we welcome the band Angels and Airwaves to the studio. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
It's been a while since we've been talking about Love Part 2.
Yes, it is. This is a very huge day for us. I just want you to know that we are very excited.
That's what you were telling me about coming in this morning.
Yes, I woke up really early.
Tom walked in and said, do you have any idea what time I have to leave to get here at this hour?
Well, because I was just in here with Blink not too long ago, and I was trying to tell you the same thing. But for some reason, you guys won't change your show to the afternoon.
Listen, I would love it. I don't like getting up early either, but what time do you have to leave San Diego?
I left just after 4:15 this morning.
Sweet.
But you know what the big highlight was that Starbucks was actually open at 4:30, so that got me the coffee.
All right.
And I walked in there, and the lady goes, what are you doing up at the butt crack of... She said butt crack of dawn.
Yes,
I never heard of that before.
That's because you're not up at the butt crack of dawn. Yeah. Everybody that's up early knows that term.
Well,
but you're lucky enough that you don't have
I've actually never heard that before. I thought it was pretty good. But.
Tell us about Love Part 2.
Well, most people out there know I play in Blink, and we just got
what?
Done. I know, it's a secret, but I just got finished, actually, 2 nights ago with our tour in New Orleans, and now... Tomorrow, Angels and Airwaves, we release the double album Love and the feature film Love that we have been working on. This has been like almost a 5-year project or something?
Yeah, it's the culmination of since we first
talked about even the band, really.
Yeah, so. we always wanted to make...
This is born when the band was born.
So we wanted to... The band is going on 7 years now, but we wanted to make a film. We got into it within the first couple years of the band being together, but we're 100% independent. We have no label. We are completely on our own. We financed the movie on our own. We did everything. And what we did was we made a double record with a movie. We put out the first half of the record, Love Part 1, for free, only off our website.
Because it leaked.
You would think... No, the second one, actually.
Second one leaked.
You know what's funny? We put out the free record. That one didn't leak. The one we're selling is the one that leaked. Yeah.
That's perfect.
Isn't that weird? Yeah. So tomorrow on iTunes, we launched the film and the double record in its entirety. But this whole thing has been a massive accomplishment and something we've been working for a long time. Because bands don't do movies.
No, ever.
Well, if they do, they're like sex tapes, if you will.
Sure.
And we tried that too, but it was just weird and awkward in the band. Well, we did it with each other. It was odd. For some reason, we didn't get the press we wanted out of it.
Now, let's discuss the movie.
Okay.
Love. It's Civil War, and then the dude goes to a space station.
Yeah, well... Right?
That's it. And then the Earth ends.
Well, this is the
Help me with
let
this.
Let me answer some questions here. Or I'll give you the answers to some... a lot of questions about, hey, are you in it? No, we're not acting in it. And they said, okay, then it must be like a rock opera, like Pink Floyd, The Wall or something. We said, no, it's not that either. It's an actual movie. And the way we look at Angels and Airwaves is it's like this big art project where kind of the way we're doing it is we'll take like a large theme about the human race, and this one's love, and we'll communicate it on the album, and then we'll communicate it on the film, and they're cohesive, and there's pieces of the score of the movie that you'll hear all throughout the records, but the movie largely just stands on its own, and there's not even any singing in the movie.
Okay, so it isn't like it's an Angels and Airwaves. I mean, it is a project, but it's not starring you guys.
Exactly.
Is it all your music?
Yeah, it's all our music. We scored the film, it's a complete science fiction feature film. We did about 20 film festivals. We won some really great awards, and we're so stoked. I don't think any band's ever just done a film. They usually do films about themselves.
Right.
Or they're just their record.
A documentary or something like that.
Yeah, this is about an astronaut that gets stuck on the space station. He loses all contact with the Earth. He looks out the window. He sees the Earth kind of burning and crumbling below. He doesn't know what's going on. And he wakes up years later in isolation, and there's something floating outside the ship with him in orbit. I can't tell you.
What is it?
Oddly enough, it's a pack of Sour Patch Kids.
So do you find yourself having to explain this concept a lot? Like, all right, let me try. Because it's not a normal thing for a band to
make
a movie and then...
Well, people, that's what's so cool about it.
A graphic novel.
Yeah,
and
we got that
merchandise,
too.
Little toy action figures. I don't know what's going on
with
you
guys. Well, we're basically trying... Well,
we're just really bored.
We're really bored.
We've got to do a lot of stuff.
Well, this is... If you look at some of the things that this band has done, I mean, when we got off the label, when we first started, we knew that we wanted to do things differently. So... We helped create this piece of technology that runs our website. And that technology, actually, the White Stripes use, Pearl Jam uses, and about 40 other smaller artists.
I remember you telling me about this years ago.
Yeah, right?
You were so excited about it. You said, don't say anything, but this is going to be cool. It's the way it's going to go.
It's allowed us to be independent, and it's allowed us to sell our own films and sell our own music, and it's allowed us to do pay-per-view events and all these different types of things. So we did a technology deal, and then we started the feature film, and then we put a company together starting in January that's just an Angels and Airwaves company, literally staffed with people specifically to put out films and albums and graphic novels and anything else that we think is fun and cool and a vehicle for our art. It's really interesting to be a part of an outfit that has so much latitude with what we're doing as a business, but also what we're doing with our music. So this is hopefully the first of many films to come. And it's really good. You know, like I didn't tell Variety to give it a review and compare it to Stanley Kubrick's 2001. I didn't tell them that. And I didn't tell...
And by that, you mean you did?
That was a real clever way of...
I didn't know. I was
plug.
Trying to think about
Shameless
it.
Shameless plug.
It's just weird how Spielberg is such a swim fan over our band, you know?
Is that right?
No, but it's really good. And that's the other thing that's catching a lot of people off guard, is that the film... It's a snobby of an independent film that you would need to be your first film and get some credibility. So we're excited.
Now we're gonna have to talk about a little bit more about the film and how it was made in the director's backyard and a bunch of
it was yeah
really kind of a weird way of making a film.
Yeah, it it uh So Will Eubank, the director, and which is a man of many hats. When we first found him, he was like four, and he's like 47 now. We've been working on the film for so long. But literally, he made okay. So we rented the Apollo 13 space station in the spaceship from Apollo 13, and he just goes, you know what? We need to reshoot some scenes, and that wasted half of our budget, so I can build a better one. And we're like, okay. And he's all, just give me...
I can build a better one than the one that went up in space?
Well, no, than the one that was used in the movie set, not the actual NASA one. So, but he could do that if he wanted to.
And then you went up into space?
Not yet.
All right, I'm
but he went to Home Depot, which is similar, and he spent 6 months making the International Space Station in his parents' driveway. His parents live in Santa Barbara, just north of L.A., and so here's a space station. His dad's walking out over 6 months just going, what happened to my kid? I sent him to school, and he's been camping out in the driveway with his buddies till 4 a.m. every night building a space station.
Do we see his dad walking by in his robe or whatever in the movie?
No, but
Dad,
you know,
get off the set!
No, we haven't seen that, but you know what? Okay, so we did the space, so he shot for another 6 months after he built the space station in the driveway there, and then we were like, okay, we need a beginning, so we need this big epic Civil War battle that kind of sets the tone of what happens later on in the film.
That sounds expensive.
It was very hard and expensive to do, except so Will did it. He goes, literally, he goes, give me 5 months. I will borrow my neighbor's tractor, and I will dig mines, and I will build all the mortars with my mom, once again from Home Depot, using plaster and vases that hold plants and stuff. He made cannonballs and mortars and took pipes with air pressure guns and made these 75-foot explosions, and he got a bunch of Civil War reenactors.
Are you high right now?
I'm a little bit high, but I'm telling you...
He's got his parents doing slave labor?
It's insane.
Mom, dig a ditch!
It's insane.
It's got to be look like the Civil War.
Yeah, no, I mean, David, you were there.
Matt and I actually both saw
David's
his mom
in the movie.
There.
David was an extra.
Yeah,
he was
more
one
like
of
fine
the...
Waldo. I don't think you'll ever actually see me.
You've don't
you're
be
silhouetted.
Modest.
You're self short, man.
I'm silhouetted pretty awesomely.
It was definitely a family affair, though. His brothers were in the movie. Will's brothers were...
His brother's the opening guy in the
getting
scene.
Punched in the face.
Yeah. No, you'll watch the film, and Will's all, that's my math teacher. That's my neighbor Bob.
It was all people he knew.
This sounds, when we're describing, because we don't have any visuals to partner with this description. If you haven't seen the trailer, it doesn't look like... The idea is that it doesn't look like what he's saying.
It doesn't
saying.
At all. You see the trailer on YouTube or whatever. I saw the new one last night.
The coolest
it's insane
part,
looking,
The coolest part about it is a math teacher. It is a neighbor. It is the brothers. It is the mom that's painting things.
So, a silhouette of you.
Yeah, a silhouette of me kind of makes the film.
You'll
understand more when you see it.
That was a make or break it moment. All right, Angels and Airwaves is here. We need to take a break. We just world premiered Surrender. Now, what are they doing on iTunes with Surrender right now?
So that song that you just played, Surrender, is our new single for the next week. iTunes is giving that song away for free. It's called Single of the Week. And that's really exciting for us because we like to give away free things as we did with the record. So
Let's play it again when we get back. Do you want?
Yes,
all right,
please.
We'll take
that'd
it.
Be awesome.
Keep playing it.
We'll just play it all morning.
I love it.
Angels and Airwaves is here. We'll be right back. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. Brand new Angels and Airwaves from Love Part 2, which comes out tomorrow? A week from tomorrow?
Yeah, it comes out tomorrow, Tuesday,
on
iTunes. The movie and the double album comes out on iTunes. And then on the 8th, next week, it'll come out in all the stores and everywhere else as well.
Now, how do you buy this box set? What's
well,
the box set
that comes with the two albums and the movie will be at most of all the stores. But you can actually get that from angelsandairwaves.com. And we provide 24-hour shipping and customer service.
Which one of you does that? Is that Alon? Is that what Alon does now?
Alon's new.
Alon, do you have him shipping stuff now? Is that the story
Alon,
with the new drummer?
Hello to everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, Alon. This is our new drummer extraordinaire. He hasn't had a chance to say hi. Is there anything you want to get off your chest while we're here?
I'm just still trying to wake up.
He's still trying to
wake up. He thought this was a prank. He thought he was going to show up. No one else is going
to
be here.
Yeah, he did. But this is what we do to new members.
Because we have them all the time.
We
what do you mean?
Like, I'm just riffing right now.
When did he just join 10 days ago or something?
This is new. This is just a few weeks ago. We've been talking to him for a couple months. We met up with him. We went on a few dates. And they're
sweet dates.
I noticed in the album that there's he's not in any of the photos or anything. I noticed that.
The photos that are out, I know.
Thanks for bringing that up. Anything else?
I'm just saying, I noticed.
Anything else you want to...
I'm just saying, I noticed Alon is not in that.
But we have photos, and he looks great, and we just released them. They are coming out this week, actually.
You can find those on Angels and Airways.
I'll find those there, yes.
Now, Alon, you play with Nine Inch Nails, Lost Prophets. You've done your own.
It's kind of a big deal.
Your own stuff.
Yeah, I've been at it for a while.
Ask him how old he was on his first tour. That's a good question.
How old were you on your first tour?
My first run of shows, a couple weeks, I'd say I was 11 years old.
11 years old.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow. How old were you on your first radio show? That's what I'm trying to say.
At 11, I was still throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Joyner. Yes. That's my claim to fame. That's it. So you guys, tell me, so you put Love Part 1 on here and Love Part 2.
Yes.
And the movie.
On the deluxe set. There is the double album where you just get the record without the movie. But I said, everyone's sitting at home right now in your cubicles at work or wherever you are in your car where you pull it and you're not supposed to do this. Go to AppleTrailers.com and is it Apple.com/trailers?
I don't know, but if you Google, it'll come up.
And then type in Love, Angels and Airways. Watch the trailer. The trailer
looks amazing. It looks like a $200 million production.
It kind of does. That's why people are tripping. But you know what? That's why it took us so long to do it, because it's not a $200 million production.
Now, you just wrapped up Blink-182 2 days ago.
Yeah, I did.
How about a day off?
I know.
These guys just going, come on, let's get going.
Yeah, we're just sitting around going, chomping at the bit. Yeah. So
but
there's
you
just...
know what? It wasn't supposed to really happen that way. The Blink stuff was supposed to be done a lot earlier, but we kind of took our time with that album and it got pushed back, and then they ended up overlapping. So,
right.
But it's all good, though. We're doing the radio show somewhere. in January, February.
Yes.
In any case,
right.
I am just trying to
move on.
Tell me about the tour. Are you touring?
Yes, we're going to go to Australia in February, and we're going to be going to Europe right after that, and then we'll be doing the big, huge U.S. Fantastic Love tour.
Now, what's that
going
to be like? Are you going to work in the movie?
That's
the visuals
goal.
And stuff. How
yeah.
do you do that?
I think.
Come
that,
on, take it easy on the mic.
I know. Why are you hitting the microphone?
He's trying to eat it.
He's using it as a pillow. He's just resting his face on it.
He was drumming at 11, but he can't work a mic. All right, go ahead.
We're going to we have a lot of ideas of how to incorporate the film, and I think with various forms of technology and LED screens and lasers and all that fun stuff, I'm hoping to provide a very cerebral and trippy show. Everyone takes acid. We provide acid as you walk in the door.
All right, I'm gonna read a quote that you said on I think you're being interviewed, and I found it on YouTube last night. I just want you to clarify.
This is gonna be good.
I want you to clarify.
It's about Bigfoot.
Tom DeLong.
Okay.
We really wanted to communicate the ethos of Angels and Airwaves, our idea of esoteric symbolism and human consciousness.
Well.
I don't know what that means.
I kind of only know every other word.
I don't know what it means either. And to be honest, and that's all I ever am.
That's all you do is
that's
lie.
All I
since
do.
The day I've known you,
I
you
know.
Lie.
Well, right. we wanted to do something that took quite a lot of investment from people to get into, because I kind of believe that if you create such a deep world with all these symbols and these themes and with all the stuff we're doing with the film, and I think when people finally get it, when they understand the whole picture, you kind of create a fan for life, and I think that's where music is going. Music, you know how they always say things are cyclical. I think that with computers, it became really easy to make a record. And so what I think, and all the records stopped selling, the stores are closing down, it's all like in this big state of flux. So I think what's happening is rock bands are becoming way more progressive and need to be in order and need to focus on doing something that makes a little bit of noise, but you make a little bit of noise not by giant marketing, but by really doing ambitious things and taking a lot of risk. And that's kind of where we like to consider ourselves. One of those.
Do you guys have to run, or can you stick around for another break?
We are here for you.
All right. We'll take another break. We'll be right back. Angels and Airwaves are... Angels and Airwaves in the studio with us this morning. You can go to their website, which is modlife.com/angelsandairwaves.
Well, no.
You can just say Angels and Airwaves.
You can just say angelsandairwaves.com is fine.
I can't keep up.
That's the platform that runs it, but it's just angelsandairwaves.com.
Okay. And then how do I get to the Drunk Yoda story?
Oh, okay.
What's that about?
Well, back in the day, we were talking off the air that bands used to do fanzines, and obviously Print is dead, and I learned that from the movie Ghostbusters, which is, remember, Print is dead. Okay.
Sure.
In any case, and rather than doing a normal fanzine, Angels and Airwaves started a site called strangetimes.com, mm-hmm. and it's kind of like the Huffington Post, but it's all conspiracy, paranormal, weird stories. There's a few stories up there right now. One is about, actually, yesterday's headline was at the moon, and I have this. This came to me in a letter from a source I have out near Area 51 in Nevada.
Right.
That NASA, the military arm of NASA, is proposing or already intact no fly zones over the moon. So certain countries and satellite, no, there's places that they will not allow people to fly over because there's something there.
What's happening?
That was a, that's a strange time story.
Glass structures on the moon. Did you guys see Transformers?
I saw 9.5 Weeks. Remember that movie?
Danny Glover.
Wasn't the Danny Glover in that one?
But I was referencing Transformers because something happens on the moon.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's the whole idea.
It's all true.
You know
what's happening with your band? How do you have drunk Yoda?
We drank the Kool-Aid.
Over the moon?
Well, this is what we do. We have a lot of really cool things going on. We have movies. We have graphic novels. We got albums. We have a conspiracy website called strangetimes.com.
Have you always been fascinated by aliens and space and stuff? I mean, you are sitting on...
Just got into it.
Who's this? Who's the...
The astronaut
sitting on a moon.
That's the logo for the Love movie. And that, well, he's basically waiting, you know, and that's what the whole movie is. He's sitting on a chair and you wait for 3 hours while you watch the film.
That sounds great.
No, but there's a lot more on Strange Times and conspiracy. It's just weird. I mean, we were just talking about one
German
of the...
German police stopped drunken Yoda at wheel is one of them.
That's not your best story, Matt. But what about the girl levitating? That one's creepy. What's that one?
Yeah, it's just it's a story about this girl from England who is... allegedly possessed by a demon, and she was levitating above her bed. And there's a picture. It's a allegedly a real picture of her levitating.
Or jumping.
<She's>,
one of the two.
You know what, David? It's debunkers. Like
it's your site, David.
Well, no, but I mean, that's why it works.
Oh, and this just in, they found Bigfoot. He's in Russia. So.
Again.
Wow.
Yeah.
See?
Do you remember when they found Bigfoot in Palo Alto?
They did. And they remember those two cops? Did you ever see that story that they found two cops?
Tom
said they
came
found
running.
They had him in a cooler.
It was a costume.
Tom came running into the dressing room holding like this article saying they've done it. Like as if they've this. I couldn't.
It's like when they landed on the moon.
Yeah, they've done it. They found him. They found it.
They got fired. They were policemen. They shouldn't have lied to us.
Bigfoot in a cooler.
Can't trust our security anymore.
Speaking of can't trust you, you met President Obama.
I did.
Seems bad.
You
know what I mean? Like, did he go back and go,
how did he get in here?
What happened with my security?
Yes, I did meet the president. I met him on the patio of the White House. I got a tour. One of the coolest stories. So the guy I know is really good friends with him. They were on the campaign together. It was like his special assistant, and now they're like best buddies. And so I'm at lunch in the White House with this guy. And
Did you ever think you would say that sentence?
No, I didn't.
All right.
So I'm asking him. I go, so was there any moment where President Obama looked to you and goes, what did I get myself into? And he said, no. But actually, 2 weeks after he was in the White House, he called him into the Oval Office. And he goes, yes, Mr. President. And he looked at him. He's all, I'm President of the United States of America with his hands up
like
in the air.
Like a little kid?
Like a little kid, yeah.
Like he just realized it?
Yeah, yeah, totally. And he goes, I know. And they're like jumping up and down. He's all, okay, back to national security.
All right. So Love Part 2 is the CD. It's a little... longer, it's more, it does sound like it's a movie soundtrack.
It does. All the songs blend together on both records. It's one listening experience. And the best way, if people don't know what Angels and Airwaves sound like, I guess obviously you just heard the song Surrender. But we're kind of like a progressive punk rock band. We all grew up in punk rock bands, Southern California kind of style. So it's got that kind of melodic sensibility, but it's very progressive. And
you've stretched it out, though. It's not as...
Songs can be really long, big, long intros, lots of synthesizers, and lots of building crescendos, and really handsome band members, which is...
I don't see
that. Okay, well, fair enough.
Okay. Fair enough.
It's early. I don't have my face on.
Although you had a long, so that's probably why you did that.
He's got the best hair in the band, too. So.
Just for the beauty factor. All right, so it's the iTunes Single of the Week. Yeah, I said it.
You're here because you're pretty, Alon, just so you know.
It's the iTunes Single of the Week. You can get it for free. And then on November 8th, you can get the whole box set. Or you can get it right now if you want to call 1-800-520-1067. I think we have 10 of these box sets.
And the box sets, actually, the movie and double album are available on iTunes proper to buy tomorrow. But the box set here that you're holding, we can give that away, yes. We have a bunch of them, probably.
All right, we have 10 of them. So
right on.
The first 10, 1-800-520-1067. What? That's a bunch, yeah.
That's a bunch.
Yeah.
Angels and Airwaves, we're happy that you're back now that Blink has finished 2 days ago.
Yes, I am. We're off and running, and thank you so much for having us. And this is so big for us. We are an independent band, so we don't really have many people helping us, but you. This is great.
I'm really your biggest supporter, I think.
At this moment, you are.
All right, thanks for coming in, guys. We appreciate it. It's 5 minutes till 8. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with a look at the showbiz beat.
Happy Halloween. What are you going as this year?
What are you going as, Kevin? What are you dressing as? A guy in stripes?
Yep. Okay. Shorts and a striped t-shirt.
Oh, it's my favorite costume.
Giant head. Yeah.
Did you go to any parties this weekend, Lisa?
I
didn't. Did you dress up at all? Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Boring.
I saw your dullards. Picture. I saw your picture. You were fantastic as Kevin Smith.
I don't know if we're up. That's up on the website or not. But oh, I think okay. we're going to throw it up later sometime today.
It
so
really
I think
great.
David K. Mexico is getting on that. But
you went out of your way. He also went out
Kevin
of his way to be
Smith.
Kevin Smith.
Yeah, Saturday night at the Lovitz, we did our show. And he never wears a costume. He doesn't want to get dressed up. So I thought it'd be funny if I dressed up as him because he has such a distinctive look with his jersey, hockey jerseys and everything else. So
beard, the whole thing.
Yeah, I put that together. And it was very funny. He was surprised. He did not see it coming. Being as stoned as he was, I think he was a little freaked out by the whole thing, quite frankly.
Who is that?
It's very entertaining. Let's take a look at today's top 10 movies at the box office. We do it every Monday morning. We see how much money the movies made over the weekend. Puss in Boots was number one. $34 million in its debut.
Nope.
Made it number one by a long shot. By all accounts, it's a very entertaining film for kids and adults alike. So you got kids, this might be the cartoon to take them to. Paranormal Activity 3.
That's another good one for kids.
Oh, they love it.
Mm-hmm.
$18.5 million. Made it number two. In Time, the new Justin Timberlake action film. In its debut, made $12 million this weekend. Good enough to make it number three. Then Footloose and The Rum Diary, the new Johnny Depp film, came in at number five. With $5 million. Real Steel, Three Musketeers, The Ides of March, Moneyball, and Courageous. That religious flick came in at number 10. That's your top 10 at the box office this weekend. I knew that Bean was out of town, on vacation, away from his computer this weekend.
Why?
Because the Jack Kevorkian suicide machine was removed from an auction because it didn't get a high enough bid.
Oh, sure.
I know if Bean had access...
Yeah.
To that online auction, he absolutely would have purchased the Jack Kevorkian death machine.
That's an item right there.
Because he loves him some death.
He does.
Washington Post says the suicide machine, which was known as the Thanatron.
Oh, my God.
Suicide machine is so much cooler.
Yeah.
The Thanatron.
Thanatron was built to pump intravenous drugs into a person that put them to sleep and then stopped the heart. It was a very effective machine, by all accounts. It had been estimated to sell in the $100,000 to $200,000 neighborhood, but the highest bid was just $65,000. So
ooh, I should tweet that.
Did not meet the reserve number, so they had to pull it from the auction. But I'm sure it'll be up again sometime.
Sure.
I think we should all pitch in and just get it for Bean for Christmas.
Nope. Sure.
Come on.
Nope.
Who do you want to buy a suicide machine more for more than Bean?
Think of it as an investment.
That's right. What, the odds of him using it are sadly not high, but should he get the urge, it's right there in the closet. I'm saying we
make it a lot easier.
We make it as easy as possible. That's right. What we need to do. Adrien Grenier says that since Entourage went off the air, his fans are just so upset. They're just miserable.
Is that right?
They're very disturbed. They're depressed. They miss Entourage. And he says he's become a virtual therapist for these people who miss the show. He said he's constantly reassuring his diehard fans that there will be an Entourage movie and the story is not over yet. So hold on. More Entourage is on its way.
F*** that guy. What would he need him for?
Really? The diehard upset Entourage fans?
It can't be a huge number
no,
of people.
I can't imagine he's spending too much of his time consoling the Entourage fans, but what do I know?
Mm-hmm.
Lisa Ling, remember her? Hey! Journalist, former sure. co-host of The View?
Mm-hmm.
She's just sold a sitcom to ABC.
Okay.
Came up with an idea for a sitcom. It's called Number One Son. Oh, this is a clever, clever premise. Apparently, there are two different families. One is Chinese, and the other family is Irish.
Okay.
And the two kids from the families get married. And now these two families, who are so different, are going to have to somehow find a way to coincide.
But they're not like each other.
No, they're very, very different, Kevin. That's the comic premise. You have a Chinese family, right?
Right.
And they're all doing Chinese things.
Right.
Hey, aren't chopsticks great? That kind of thing.
Sure.
And then you've got the Irish family, like, oh, I'm so drunk, give me more beer. And they're just very different.
But do they get along?
No!
Oh, that's crazy.
And then comedy will ensue because of their differences.
No way. Not ever.
That is some fresh, fresh, funny writing right there. And I, for one, am looking forward to it.
Left, just add a laugh track. You're fine.
They can just... That's find good. A way to cast Chelsea Handler in there somewhere. It'll be the perfect sitcom for me. Today's celebrity birthday is actor Ron Rifkin. Super talented guy. Was in Alias, of course, for many seasons. Played the evil Arvid Sloan on that show. Stop saying Brothers and Sisters. No one knows what that is.
He was in Brothers and Sisters.
72 years old today. Peter Jackson. Of Lord of the Rings fame, 50 years old today. That was weak.
Are we ever going to retire that?
I don't think so. Larry Mullen, drummer for U2, is 50 years old. Dermot Mulroney, talented actor. He is 48. Mike O'Malley plays the dad of Kurt on Glee, is 46. Ad-Rock of the Bee Boys, he is 46 years old. Rob Van Winkle, probably better known as Vanilla Ice, turns 43 years old today. Eddie K. Thomas from American Pie and How to Make It in America over on HBO. He's 31. Frank Iero from My Chemical Romance. I always get confused with pronouncing Frank's last name.
Frank,
the guitarist from My Chemical Romance. He's 30 years old today. And Willow Smith, she whips her hair back and forth.
She does. That happens.
She whips her hair back and forth.
No way.
She's 17, 18.
She's 20? 11.
She's just now 11.
She is 11 years old. Well, she was a star at 9. Come on. I think she looks good for 11. She is one of the better, youthful-looking 11-year-olds in show business.
That's true.
A lot of 11-year-olds start to look a little rough, but I think she's holding on to her youthful good
looks.
She's
holding off on the plastic surgery till like 13.
Well, she had a little Botox, but you have to, just to freshen things up. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's 9 minutes after 8 o'clock. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com coming up. We'll talk about all the news about the celebrities. Plus, we have Andrew Siciliano coming in the studio.
Mm-hmm. Who do we have?
You heard me.
All right.
And we're going to talk football.
Okay.
And Ralph's Eagles. And my Cardinals. And other bad things. First, let's talk about Halloween disasters.
Awesome.
So, anytime you focus so much on one night, let's face it, you do. You get dressed up. You worry about what you're going to be for a week or two ahead of time.
A lot of pressure.
You go to a party, most of us over the weekend. You know, tonight's reserved for little kids, but the rest of us celebrate kind of over the weekend. And anytime you're involved in a situation like that where you know there's going to be drinking, things go terribly wrong.
Not only that, but sometimes you're in like crazy costumes trying to drive a car. Not so easy, masks, that kind of thing.
And usually Halloween and Halloween parties specifically, there is an expectation of sex at some point. There's a lot of holidays that come and go that don't have that pressure
like
added to
Day.
It. No, like Christmas,
oh,
Thanksgiving,
Christmas.
Right. Those can be disastrous enough. But when you're going to a party saying, oh, this tonight, I'm going to hook up with sexy fill in the blank nurse or saloon girl or pirate girl or whatever, and you're wearing some costume that you think is going to impress the ladies, it's often an opportunity for disappointment in those situations.
Yeah. Remember when Money was our sports guy and we had an orgy at our Christmas party and somebody hit him over the head with a bottle. And
it was a Halloween party, I think, wasn't it?
It was a Halloween party, yeah.
There was said Christmas.
I'm sorry, did I say Christmas? And there was blood everywhere, and we didn't know who did it, and we thought it was a band member of Orgy, and then the police showed up, and we were out in front, and my friend was completely smashed and was nowhere around, had no idea what was going on.
Yes.
He's like, I'm going to get on their bus, I'll figure it out. So he goes and gets on Orgy's bus, and now they're trying to throw him off.
He's questioning the band now about who broke a bottle over Money's head.
The ambulance shows up, and they take him away.
Send a CSI team to take fingerprints.
That was great.
Yeah. If you had a particularly disastrous Halloween experience this weekend, or any weekend, really, we just want to hear your bad Halloween stories. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call, because we want to laugh at your misfortune.
Let's face it, Halloween is one of those things where you go, okay, I'm going to go drink. This is a drinking holiday.
Yeah.
I'm going to go drink at this party. That happens.
And I think the quotient for embarrassment gets knocked up a few notches because you are usually dressed like an ass.
Yeah.
You're wearing some silly costume. So whatever you do is sort of compounded by the fact that you look foolish.
You get pulled
on top
over,
of
you
your to, drunkenness.
You have to do the drunk test, you know, as a pirate.
Yeah, as the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man from Ghostbusters. Things are compounded when you have to wear a silly costume, and that's the nature of the holiday, of course.
Put Nicole on hold. I want to talk to her.
Oh, this is the call we're going to start with?
Nicole.
Yes.
How was your Halloween, Nicole?
Well, this Halloween was fine, but last year was quite a disaster.
Why?
First of all, what were you dressed as? I want to get a mental picture with all these phone calls.
I wasn't dressed as anything. That's the thing. I was just carving pumpkins with my boyfriend at the time and drank a little too much wine, went back to his house, and on the way to his house had a little bit of a disaster.
It looks from what I'm reading here like the disaster was coming out of all holes.
Both in. And it was a mess, and I was so embarrassed, and I was trying to hold it, but when it's coming out both in.
Was he a new boyfriend or an old boyfriend?
We had been dating for about, I would say, like 7 months, so fairly new.
Did he kick you out of the car right that moment?
Did it happen in the car?
It happened in the car. I couldn't even wait.
On the way to his house. Sweet.
Yeah, it was a disaster. I was so embarrassed. I tried breaking up with him, and then he ended up asking me to marry him.
Wait. You got married?
Yeah, we recently just got married, and that's how, I mean, I knew that he was a keeper when he's cleaning up after me and just saying, it's okay, I still love you.
It's not okay. Let us tell you, it's not okay.
I know it's not.
You're aware of that.
He's so sweet, and he totally stepped up and just cleaned up, and just, like I said, I tried to break up with him the next day. I'm like, you know, I think we need a break. He's like, why? I'm like, well, don't you think we need a break after last night?
The explosions coming out of both ends of my body?
No, and he was totally cool about it, and like I said, a couple months later, we got engaged and
got
married.
That's bizarre.
Yeah, so we laugh about it. This morning, I was like, hey, remember a year ago? And he's like, yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Honey, it's our diarrhea anniversary.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, look at how far I've come.
He should buy you a roll of toilet paper every year on Halloween.
I know. He never made fun of me for it.
What?
He married you and he doesn't make fun of you?
No, not at all.
That's absurd.
The few friends that I told, they make fun of me.
They should.
He's like, you know. It happens, and I was like, well, thanks.
Wow, this guy's a keeper, Nicole.
Yeah.
I know.
Deep, dark secret that he doesn't, you know, he's lucky to have
him. He's a serial killer.
Yeah, I think this is a rule for all the girls listening. If you really want to test your relationship with your man, just unleash in his car. just mess your pants and throw up at the same time and see how he reacts.
Unleash the fluids.
It's the true test.
See how he does, especially in his car.
I can top that story.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a crappy Halloween, that's for sure.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Very literally. Thank you for the call, Nicole.
Thanks, guys.
All right, 1-800-520-1000. And we're taking calls about Halloween disasters. Things can go terribly wrong when you dress up. You put a lot of effort into it. You go to a party. You drink.
Yeah, we might not talk to Mike. We'll pass out on the murder phone call. Maybe not as funny and entertaining for a lighthearted morning show as you might.
You don't want to go to saw a guy get killed?
I don't think so. Okay. No, I think we're gonna hang up on Mike.
Let's start with George. Hi, George.
Yo, hey, what's up, guys?
We're looking for Halloween disasters that don't include death.
Yes,
we forgot to mention that. All right, go ahead. Go ahead.
All right, so get ready. And then call my girlfriend up, or my date at the time, not my girlfriend.
Right.
And I get to her house. We're all fine, getting ready, last-minute things. Head over to the party with a bunch of high school friends, and we're all having a good time. She has way too much to drink, and then she starts telling me that she gets cold. So head over to my car, pick up her jacket. By the time I go back, I see her on top of another guy, like, completely just making out with him.
What?
Like, wow.
How long were you outside? How long did it take you to go get the jacket?
No longer than 30 seconds.
Wow.
Well, she was cold, in her defense.
Right? Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
She was trying to warm up.
After that, I just said, you know what? Forget this. I just left her stranded. I left the jacket there, just left, and went home.
Good times. So she literally had that guy in her sights and probably knew him, probably was already doing him before this party.
Probably. Like, as far as I know, she didn't go to high school with any of them because...
Wow.
She's older than me. She was 20. I was 18 at the time.
If she found a guy that fast and was making out with him, God bless her. You know? That's pretty fast.
George said, I'm going to teach her. I'm going to leave her with that guy she obviously wants to have sex with more than me.
Bitch got no class.
What was she dressed as, George?
All right.
What was she dressed as?
Oh, she was dressed up as a sexy vampire.
Yeah.
Sexy vampire.
That's what I needed. That's what I needed to complete my visual. Thank you.
She made the right call. Let's go to Alex.
I'd drive a stake right through her. You know what I'm talking about? The vampire, the sexy vampire?
Huh.
You get what I'm saying?
You kill him?
No, never mind.
With a wooden stake?
Alex?
Yeah.
Tell us about your Halloween nightmare.
I went to Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios.
Oh, that's awesome Saturday. Up there.
Yeah, that's pretty great. I think I walked by you guys doing a podcast. I don't know. I think I heard something, but I got really, really drunk at the City Walk.
Good.
and lost my keys, my wallet, my phone.
Everything.
I threw up in the maze. I had to be escorted out of the maze.
Hold on. Time. Which maze were you going through? There's several of them up there.
I remember white plastic, but that's all I remember.
White plastic.
You threw up in the maze.
I threw out, and they kind of kicked me out, and I fell over, hit my head a little bit. But
sweet.
I got up because I was embarrassed, so I got my stuff back the next day.
I was going to ask, were you ever able to locate keys, wallet?
Yeah, I was surprised. Before I started canceling all my cards and everything, they called the next day.
How about that?
So I got it back. But no harm, no foul, I guess.
Yeah, wrong.
That was extra scary for the people who went through the maze after you, I'll tell you that much.
Well, I thought about that.
That vomit looks really realistic. They did a great job on the maze this year.
It smells. Well, how'd they do that? This is great. Thank you, Alex.
He's not good.
Let's go to Heidi. Hi, Heidi. Hello, Heidi.
Hello.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened, Halloween disaster?
The wire for my dress, the long, puffy dress, kind of broke.
All right, hold on. What were you dressed as, first of all?
Those 1800 ladies, you know, when the fluffy dress, you need like three different wires so it could like puff up.
Okay, so an 1800 lady that you needed a wire so that it could puff up.
One of those big wide skirts, you mean? Like those big...
Yeah, the wide skirts.
Like you have a hula hoop in it or something.
Wire.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Like
right.
Three different hula hoops.
Okay.
And I sat down, and when I sat down, one of the wires broke. Hit the guy's knee, and I guess he was having the guy was having an affair with the other guy, and he thought the other guy hit him. So, big old fight went through, fist fights, you know, they throw punches at each other, and I'm trying to stand up. My chair moved, and I'm like, with the big hula hoop standing up there.
So, a wire came out of your dress and scraped a guy's leg who thought it was another guy, and they started fighting?
They started fighting. It was like, and I just stayed quiet because everybody thought it was everybody's fault.
You didn't tell anyone?
Nope.
Nice.
Nice. Way to go.
Nice.
I support that.
Could have stopped the violence, but no, you just stood by.
Yeah, it was a good entertainment.
All right. Excellent. Thank you for the call, Heidi. I like that you didn't tell anyone. That's good. Let's go to Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa May.
Hi, Brian.
What happened? Halloween disaster.
So last Halloween, we go to a party, me and my girlfriend, right? And there's this stripper pole in the living room.
Great.
And I noticed that it's not attached the ceiling or the floor.
Oh, no.
So it's just kind of, you know, put up there, and she's doing spins. She's doing spins. We're drinking, having fun. You know, a bunch of her old high school friends. And she just goes and she tells me, babe, I want to do one more. I want to do one more.
Wait a minute. This was your girlfriend that you didn't tell that the pole was not connected?
No, I did tell her. I told her. I was like, babe, it's not attached. It's going to fall. And she's like, but it's still up, though. And I'm like, all right, go ahead. And then I was designated driver, so I didn't really have any drinks.
Right.
And I'm telling her, and she goes back in there. She's like, come here. Let's take pictures one more time. And then so we go back, she does one more, and I'm about to take the picture of her last spin, right? She goes up, I have pictures of her, she goes onto the pole, she does about a quarter of a spin on the pole, and it just collapses on her.
Sweet.
Right on top.
Sweet.
And
I hope you kept taking pictures.
I did.
Yes.
The next picture, when we were looking back, it was a picture of her running up to it, and then the next picture is just like a picture of the carpet.
Nice.
Sweet. That's fantastic. Thank you for the call.
Another woman's life destroyed by the stripper pole. Yeah. Wouldn't be the first time.
And one more. This is Alec. Hi, Alec.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How was your Halloween?
So I threw a party on Friday at my house.
Great.
And,
this past Friday?
This last Friday.
Okay.
And got into a confrontation, ended up getting a gun pulled on me. So
Did you know the person?
No, we had a DJ, and it was one of his friends.
Okay, so the DJ comes to your house, you're having a Halloween party, you get in an argument, the guy pulls a gun on you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Was the DJ Omar Khan?
DJ Omar Khan.
That's a good question.
Yeah, right? No. And then, so later on, you know, we're all drinking, I get way hammered, end up waking up the next day with two girls in my bed. They end up trying to get me to get into a three-way, but I was so drunk I couldn't wake up.
Oh. That's worse than the guy that got shot.
That guy should have shot you, the one who pulled the gun on you.
So there were two
girls. I shot myself in the foot on that one.
There were two girls that wanted to have a three-way with you, and you were too past. You were too drunk.
Yeah, I guess like they smacked me in the face and everything. I was just out of it. I could not get up for anything.
Come on! Do us!
So it's pretty much a mega fail.
Yes, on every level.
I would say so. Thank you for the
call.
behind a tree.
That's so much better. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 20 minutes till 9 o'clock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and we welcome Dax from TMZ.com to the air. Hi, Dax.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What happened to Harvey? We were going to talk to him up until 5 minutes ago, and they're like, he's posting a story.
Well, he's in the middle of posting some story. He's being really secretive. I don't even know what the story
what?
Is right now. He's, like, run away. He's sitting on his computer, typing something up, and not, like, telling anyone what it is. So I am just in the dark, as
All right.
you guys are.
All right. Let's talk about what is on the site. Let's talk about Taylor Swift. And what's the story with her topless photo?
Okay.
Well, her alleged topless photo.
Alleged,
that's what I meant.
Topless
yeah.
photo. Basically, yeah. there's a celebrity website out there called Celeb Jihad, and they are identifying a photo of a topless woman and calling it Taylor Swift. Well, she is pissed about it, and she is saying that she's going to sue them if they take unless they take this photo down. She sent down a cease and desist order saying that this is not her, that this is not a photo of her, and that it's ruining her reputation, and it's also a trademark infringement.
I wanted to make up my own mind, and I looked at length at your site, and you haven't put it up. How can I make up my own mind?
Well, go to their website.
All right.
Post that. We don't
I'm not typing jihad into my computer. Are you kidding?
But here's the best part. Think how many times there's celebrities out there that maybe their face will get photoshopped onto a naked body or this yeah. and that. Why is she choosing this photo to go after? Everyone knows that there's not going to be a topless photo of Taylor Swift surfacing. Come on.
Yeah, I don't know. That is kind of weird that she would go after it.
Right? I mean, it's like every day you see all these people like, oh, it's Brad Pitt naked. And then, you know, you're going to get
It's a guy that sort of yeah. resembles, like, if you were no, really drunk and it was hazy, then you think yeah. Brad Pitt?
Trust me. There's been, like, the Kim Kardashian naked. You click on the link and it's literally Kim's head cut on a body. And you're like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is, I'm just saying I'd like to make up my own mind. That's all I'm saying. let's talk Lindsay Lohan. What's going on with her? She's apparently, when is the trial to see if she gets...
Well, the hearing is on Wednesday, so she's got to show up in front of this judge that basically hates her guts. And,
really, really angry at her, yeah.
Really ticked. I mean, if you had Lindsay sitting in front of you and everything you told her she went against,
yeah.
I would be pretty ticked, too.
I watched some of that on your website, TMZ.com, and man, you were just like, this woman is so pissed. She's so angry. This is not good for Lindsay.
No, and that's the thing. Every time it seems like Lindsay's getting it and she's going to snap back in and, you know, really focus, well, she got kicked out of doing the community service at the woman's shelter, and so then the judge said, okay, well, now you're going to the morgue, and she said that Lindsay had to complete 16 hours of community service at the morgue before showing up on Wednesday. Well, Lindsay's done 24 hours, and so she wants to show, look, I've done all these hours, I'm really focusing, please don't send me to jail. She's throwing a Hail Mary at this judge, and she's going to concede that she violated probation and cross her fingers that she gets 2 weeks, and that's all. And,
2 weeks of jail time.
Yeah, you know, she could get a year
and a
half.
Which is an hour.
She could get a year and a half.
She could get a year and a half, but she's praying that this judge gives her 2 weeks, and then it would get shortened because of overcrowding.
Yeah, they could give her a year and a half. It doesn't matter. They're going to kick her back out.
Well, that's what the judge said in the last trial. The judge said, I could send you to jail, but you'll just get right back out.
Yeah, it's very unlikely that she would get the year and a half, but it's a possibility.
So we're going to find that out on Wednesday.
We'll see it on Wednesday. We'll see if Lindsay's actions on trying to just concede actually helps her out or not. But, I mean, come on. And by the way, did you guys see her teeth last week?
Yeah, she got her teeth fixed. They were getting pretty janky.
They were getting pretty gnarly.
Yeah.
She fixed them over the weekend, went to the dentist, posted a picture up on Twitter where she got white teeth again.
I hope that was before the Playboy shoot. You know what I mean?
I was going to say, if she didn't do this before the Playboy shoot, then she's going to be smiling in those photos, and you're going to be like,
yeah, no, they can airbrush the hell out of those.
It, yeah.
Let's talk about Lindsay's dad, who really wants to make it to his daughter's court case.
Yeah.
He's a mess.
What's up with that guy?
He's worse than she is now.
He's worse than she is.
He is worse than she is, and he's got now one more mugshot than she does. But basically, he's now in trouble with yet another person. You know, it's not his ex-girlfriend that he allegedly beat up. It's not his ex-wife who served him with court papers while in jail. There's now another woman who is claiming that he's the father of a child in Montana, and he hasn't been paying his child support. So she's coming after him. He has got an active warrant out for his arrest in New York. So if he even shows his face in New York, he'll be arrested immediately.
Wow, that guy's got more trouble than anyone.
Who sleeps with Michael Lohan?
Does it kind of make you realize what kind of life Lindsay's come from and why she's such, you know, kind of a mess up?
You almost feel bad for Lindsay.
I kind of do feel bad for her. And I mean, you know, you got Dean on one side and Michael on the other side.
Yeah, it's not a good team.
Yeah, and the thing with Michael is I don't think he's a bad guy. He's just so messed up in so many ways.
Yeah.
Well, that's what, you know, substance abuse does to you.
Right.
And it's not always your choice. And I've heard Dr. Drew say this a billion times. It's like you get caught up with the drugs and then it takes over your body and then you are a victim of it.
Your decision making, everything goes right to hell. I also found very funny before we go, I know you got to go, but Arnold Schwarzenegger's 14-year-old son
dresses up as Conan the Barbarian.
For Halloween.
I love him.
Wow.
Dressed up as Conan the Barbarian. And you have a great photo up.
He looks like Conan the Barbarian. So all he did was really get a sword and a jacket, and he was good to go.
Pretty nicely done. Pretty nicely done.
The photos are up on TMZ if you guys want to see them.
Thank you, Dax. We appreciate it. Tell Harvey good luck with the story that he's breaking.
Yeah, and keep refreshing because he really is acting like this is a huge story. So keep checking back.
We will. Thank you, Dax.
All right.
Bye.
Friday.
No, it's Monday. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's 5 minutes till 9. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with a look at the showbiz beat.
Happy Halloween. Last night on Fox was Fox's Animation Domination tribute to Halloween. All the scary episodes of all their shows were last night.
I don't know if anyone saw the Family Guy last night.
Taped it.
But it was my triumph.
It's Bobby!
It wasn't Bobby. No, it was Jeff. Jeff last night on
now
Family Guy.
Now we need a new jingle.
It's Jeff. But I got to play Quagmire's sister's abusive boyfriend in a very darkly funny episode of Family Guy. Sadly, once again, as is my way, I did not survive.
They like to kill you.
Most of my characters that I have played as an actor do get killed off. Ensuring that they never have to work with me again.
Did it start that way or just halfway through magically all of a sudden you realized you were going
to
die?
There was some alteration, I think, to the script while we were working on it. And then they said, ooh, sorry, Jeff won't be returning to Quahog anytime soon. You right there, Muggs? He just fell into the wall. Are you drunk?
Keep doing the radio show.
Just keep going.
So anyway, I brought a little taste of Jeff from last night, which I should give you an advance warning. Seth MacFarlane, genius that he is, when we were working on this, he said, I brought you in because I think you could do a very funny job of this character. All I need you to do is just yell every line.
Oh, okay.
This is one of the angriest guys in the world. Just keep yelling. And so you'll notice that it turned out to be a very funny note from Seth MacFarlane.
We're watching Leno, you bitch!
I'm sorry.
His soft, gentle humor connects effortlessly with my mainstream sensibilities.
No! Let's waste this dick.
That's Joe there. That's when they decide to take Jeff out on a hunting trip and have him not return. So, yeah.
Well, are you technically dead then? Or did you not return?
I'm not technically dead. I'm well dead.
Okay.
You'll see at the end. Spoiler alert. By the end of the episode, you'll see that I get my comeuppance, as it were. That relationship did not work out between Quagmire's sister and myself. You know what else relationship didn't work out?
What?
Thanks to our friends at TMZ, we now know the white-hot story that Harvey Levin was posting while we were supposed to be talking to him moments ago, and the reason we started talking to Dax. This you can find right now at TMZ.com. Kim Kardashian and Chris Humphries divorcing!
Yes!
Kim Kardashian will file for divorce this morning. After 72 days of not-so-wedded bliss to Chris Humphries, TMZ has learned.
Look, they gave it 72 days.
They sure did.
That's enough.
Isn't there some contract that says they have to last 6 months or something?
I don't know what the financial deal is, but...
So, do we think it was completely fake from the beginning? Just for the TV show?
72 days seems like...
Yeah. It could have been.
That sounds shady.
I told you so last week that they were casting a boyfriend for her when they were doing Kim and Courtney Take Manhattan or whatever that was.
Yeah, and you would totally believe they would do that for the TV show.
Of course. And then they've got this huge rating special with the two-part wedding special. They made $15 million off of that.
Yep.
I mean, it's possible there was some sort of financial arrangement where he was going to play her husband on television. And now the show is over, and so now they can do a very special divorce episode. Or all season long, she could be crying and wringing her hands about how upset she is about the divorce.
Wow.
Reality television, people, is neither real nor television.
Bitch got no class.
Apparently, Kim has hired herself a high-powered divorce lawyer who has repped the likes of Britney Spears, Maria Shriver, Angelina Jolie, Ryan Reynolds, and Robin Gibson, Mel Gibson's wife.
What do they have to split up?
I can't imagine.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. They're only the other 72 days.
The money from the wedding
just
that
take
they got
what you
paid.
Have, and I'll take what I have, and we'll move on.
Yeah, I'm sure he's just going to get a payout, and then they're going to go their separate ways. But F the Kardashians.
Yes.
And F all you people who tuned in to watch that BS special about their romantic dream wedding.
Two-part.
The two parts and her Vera Wang dress. And F you suckers who fell for this. I wish them painful rectal itch.
Wow, that's something.
Across the board. Everyone involved.
Wow. It's a little rough, don't you think?
Nope. That's better than they deserve. Painful rectal itch.
Saw them at the Troub last night.
Very good.
Very good.
They put on a hell of a stage show.
Yes, they do.
I'm out of time already. That was your update. That was your big showbiz update.
All right.
So,
well, that was
what
worth
more
it.
Do you need than that story? That's all.
72 days.
We can all feel a little bit better about ourselves today is that they're just a bunch of losers. I don't care how hot she is. She's a loser.
She's pretty hot, though.
She's pretty hot, but he's a loser. She's a loser. He's a loser.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Ron Rifkin of Alias fame. He played Arvid Sloan on that show, one of our favorites for many years. 72 years old. Director Peter Jackson from Lord of the Rings fame and soon to be seen directing The Hobbit. He's 50 years old today. Larry Mullen, drummer for U2, is 50. Dermot Mulroney is 48 years old today. Actor Mike O'Malley from Glee turns 46. Ad Rock from the Bee Boys, he is 45. Rob Van Winkle, probably better known as Vanilla Ice. Not that known as Vanilla Ice anymore.
No.
He is 43. Eddie K. Thomas from American Pie and How to Make It in America is 31. And Willow Smith, actress, singer, icon. She is the voice of her generation.
I don't think so.
She is. The other voice of her generation being DJ Lance Rock from Yo Gabba Gabba. She is 11 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Like we do on Mondays. We have Andrew Siciliano in the studio with us. Welcome back, Andrew.
Good morning, guys.
Andrew, of course, host of the Red Zone channel on DirecTV, as well as working over there on the NFL Network. And once again, great job this week. I was watching you on the Red Zone channel.
Thank you.
Brilliant
Thank you.
Work. You
Thank
do it
you.
Every week.
It was actually busy. We had five games at 1 o'clock, which is a rarity. It makes you actually pay attention for the late games and not just tweet and fall asleep and drink coffee and things like that, which I often do.
It is kind of funny to see you kind of, you're kind of treading water sometimes.
Sometimes, by the end of the day. When you say treading water, meaning needing to run down the hall and find a bathroom sometimes, yes.
That's not what I was talking about, but okay.
Sometimes you have to cut away to punts. Towards
sometimes
the end of the game,
we do because
sometimes you run out of action.
There's
very
nothing
difficult.
To watch. Yeah. I actually, I meant to yesterday. There was one point with five games later in the afternoon where all five were in commercial or in, as we say, billboards, meaning there's no actual game. They're coming out of a break and they're saying the game is brought to you by whatever. And I was going to take a photo so I could tweet it out later and say, "See people, look." Sometimes
do people
there
not
really
believe
isn't
you?
Anything
oh,
to show.
Wait, people don't believe you. They go, "Hey, why don't you cut to a game?"
Well. Look,
sometimes the Red Zone, he pretty much covers every game that's going on
at
simultaneously.
Yeah.
Sometimes we are out of, there's nothing to go to. Someone goes to a break. We only have one game. And we know, because we listen to the trucks, that, for example, the Niners and Browns, they're 15 seconds back.
Okay.
Right? So they have 15 seconds left in their beer commercial, and then they're coming back. But what do you do for those 15 seconds? So we have short versions of highlights cut from the earlier game. So let's say I grab a 30-second highlight of the Saints and the Rams from earlier today.
Now you've gone
so
15 seconds
I start
over.
Doing it. And, you know, you're two plays into the highlights. There are only two plays left.
Right. You let it go.
It's not that long.
Yeah.
But in those two plays, Alex Smith took a snap and threw an 18-yard completion to Vernon Davis in the Niner game. And so you get, why are we seeing highlights?
Oh, man.
Dude, I'm
Take
sorry.
It easy.
But we love our fans. And,
I know you do.
And it's mutual, I hope, sometimes at least.
And if you're a diehard Niner fan, if you have the DirecTV Sunday ticket, you can go watch that game on your own dish.
Exactly.
They're so amped
I get
up.
Annoying, which is often. You can switch and watch the game.
Yes.
The beauty of it all.
49ers, of course, beating your Browns.
Yes. To go to 6-1, they're good. They're
the real deal, aren't they?
They are the real deal. They have
Frank
Gore. They have not only Frank Gore, they have Kendall Hunter. They have two running backs. They threw two passes to linemen yesterday.
I love that.
Like one a left tackle, Joe Staley, another a defensive lineman. They put in a tight end. It's like what Stanford does, which SC fans saw, unfortunately, on Saturday. They put like 13 guys on the line, which, yes, I know is not possible, but that's what it seems like.
Right.
They put all their beef on the line, and they will throw to their defensive linemen lining up as tight ends. That's what they do, and they're winning.
Let's talk about the USC game.
Let's do that.
While you brought that up, USC Stanford, triple overtime?
Triple overtime. At the Coliseum, can I say this? That I don't know how much solace Trojan fans want to take in it. They should be proud, at least briefly, because that building was like it was in the good old days.
It was rocking, yeah.
It was ridiculous. It was 93-607. They announced a sellout, and it was so loud. And when Kel Roby picked off Andrew Luck, the Stanford quarterback who's going to go number one, who teams are now are defending themselves in the NFL, no, we're not losing on purpose to take him.
Oh, really?
The Colts owner tweeted that last night. We're not doing this on purpose.
Yeah, Suck for luck, they call it.
Exactly. Yeah. When Nickel Roby picked off Andrew Luck and ran it back to the house, the place was deafening, and you thought they had it. And then they went to triple overtime, and then they lost. It wasn't quite so good at the end of triple overtime as it was before then. It's so cliched. I was with some people who were rooting for Stanford, and they looked at me and said, this is so cliched, and we're sorry we're going to say this, but there was no loser here tonight. Now, Lane Kiffin's ticked at the officials. He reiterated that again this morning, said he called them in the locker room then even hours after the game. He wanted 1 second left on the clock at the end of regulation. I don't know that I buy his argument.
Right.
You know, he said that he had a deal, in essence, with one of the officials. Hey, if he runs out of bounds, you're going to give me a second. If there is a second, and he says the replay showed there should have been a second, and he should have had a timeout, but you still have to physically call the timeout.
Yeah.
Either way, SC, I don't want to say that they're back, because I don't know where they're returning from.
Right.
But in a season in which the probation is still lingering, and they can't go to a bowl game, they went out there, they punched Stanford in the mouth and should have won the game, and whatever. It was a decent memory. It was a good game.
There's no losers. It's fine for fans, but if you're on the team or you're hardcore, I imagine there's no such thing.
And now they got to go to Colorado on Friday. Colorado's in the Pac-10/12 now.
Right.
So now they have to go play in Boulder on a Friday night, which is, it's not going to be easy because A, they're bad, and B, it's a Friday night, and C, this is after Notre Dame and Stanford. Now we got to go there. Lane Kiffin's got a challenge this week, I'll tell you that.
Now, with the inability of going to a bowl game for SC, does Matt Barkley stick around for another year, or does he come out early and try to see what he can do in the draft?
It's a brilliant question, because Peter King, who is a noted NFL writer for Sports Illustrated, said last night at NBC that he thought Barkley played his way back into the top 10 Saturday. Right. And he pretty much traded punches with Luck the entire game.
I don't know who any of those people are.
Right. Peter King, not Peter
Barkley
Griffin.
Barkley QB for SC.
A similar stature. Matt Barkley's a top 10 pick in all likelihood. If he isn't, he's a top 15 pick. There is a sales pitch that Lane will give him, which is, next year we can go to a bowl game.
Right.
You can be a senior. You can come full circle, and you can plant your flag with this program.
Right.
If you want to. You wouldn't be the first. I mean, Matt Leinart came back, Jake Locker.
And look how it's done for Matt Leinart. I mean,
it's worked out.
Oh, wait.
Well, not well for him.
Has nothing to do with his college experience. At least he got his senior year to shine. Because there is no guarantees in the NFL.
They're none.
And Barkley, once the Luck madness is over with this draft, he could come back, play for SC next year, and then for that draft, he could be one of the top five.
Listen, it all depends on what you want to do. There is no bad answer. There are two choices. Go to the NFL after 3 years, as everyone said you would, from the day you signed your letter of intent to go to SC. Or stay and get a fourth here. There's no bad answer there. There's a good story to be written either way.
One involves a lot less money.
One does involve a lot less money.
But with the new deals, the rookie money that they're getting, he's not going to get a multi-million-dollar deal coming out of college one way or the other.
He's going to have food money.
He's going to have food money. His family's not in any way hurting.
Yeah, they're not destitute.
They're not destitute. I don't know exactly what their financials look like, but that's a better way to say it. They're not destitute.
All right, we need to take a break. Andrew Siciliano is here. We got to talk about Tim Tebow and the second coming of Christ.
He is everything they said he was.
Did you see the Tebowing yesterday? You know what that means?
No.
We'll explain what that means.
All right, we'll be right. Andrew Siciliano is our guest in the studio. He is the host, of course, of Red Zone on DirecTV, and he's also on NFL Network every afternoon at 4 o'clock. Let's talk about the Rams. What happened with the Rams, and how did they beat the Saints?
All right. We'll try to put the Saints this are great. Try to put this in perspective. A week ago, we sat here, and we talked about the fact that the Saints scored 62, which tied a modern record Sunday night, right?
Yes. 60-burger.
A 60-burger.
60-burger.
As Warren Sapp and Steve Mariucci and everyone else would say, a 60-burger. So the Rams had scored 56 So fewer than 62. 56 the entire season heading into yesterday's game. And they beat the Saints.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they did it. I have no clue. But that's you know bizarre. What? It's most shocking. It's one of the more shocking upsets in the last decade of the NFL.
I wonder how many people got knocked out of their last man standing.
I don't do those things. But I know I you hear that I'm everyone got knocked out.
I imagine.
Like everyone on earth.
I think that some of these games played against, especially these winless teams, can be real trap games for some teams.
Yeah.
But, why? Because they don't have anything to lose?
They take it so lightly when they go in. They don't game plan as hard. They don't get as amped up. And these teams who are winless especially have a lot to prove and a lot of pride on those sidelines. And sometimes they can catch you by surprise.
Perfect example. You guys come in. You get to speak to me. But if Sofia Vergara is warming up in the green room.
See?
Yeah.
I hear you.
Yeah.
We're going to bring our A game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The Dolphins led the Giants.
We're
going to
try and rush through you
yesterday.
As quickly as we can.
And I would as well.
Okay, good.
She's not here, is she?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, the Finns almost took the Giants yesterday as well.
I mean, didn't, though. Almost
they didn't. No, the Giants fixed it.
Yeah.
But the Rams were at home. The crowd got into it. They couldn't protect Drew Brees. The Saints had their coach upstairs, which didn't mean anything last week because Sean Payton blew his knee up. So he's coaching from upstairs. There's a disconnect. I don't know. I have no. But
was
I,
this the first win of the season for the Rams?
It was the first win of the season. They scored 56 all year through six games. They had scored 56 points.
Yeah, that's not great.
And they didn't just beat the Saints; they beat them up. They were starting defensive backs that a month ago were on the street. They literally didn't have jobs.
They were homeless?
They were homeless. They were living under the 405. And they signed them. They brought them in. Barry Gordy's cousin had an interception. He wasn't even there a month ago. Really? His name is Josh. He must be
younger. Really his cousin?
He must be like a fifth cousin or something.
He was one of the Barry Temptations, and now he's on the scene.
They called him up from the Temptations.
He had trouble walking. But he had a pick.
All right, let's get back to Tebow, because
right,
we teased Tebowing before we went to the break.
It sounds offensive, though.
Now we have to talk about Tebowing.
Yes, we do.
Which is a move you see in porn films all the time, Tebowing. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's a different move I'm thinking of.
I switched it off.
Tim Tebow, regarded by many as a guy who would not succeed in the NFL despite his college success because he just didn't have the tools.
He can't really, and I'll look, people can rip me and say you never played the game above junior high, and you're accurate. He can't throw the football. He just can't.
But he was the number one pick coming out of college.
He was a first round.
He
was at the bottom of the first round.
Okay.
But he was in the first 32 selections, correct.
And now he's leading the Denver Broncos. And
he's attempting to quarterback the Denver Broncos.
Right.
He can't throw. I mean, he really can't throw the football. I know that sounds absurd.
It does sound absurd.
I sat here last Monday and said his performance against the Dolphins for 57 minutes before he pulled it out and they won was circus ugly. That's what it was yesterday for all 60 minutes.
Now, describe what happened when he played the Dolphins and where Tebowing came from.
I want to make something very clear. I'm not mocking those who pray.
Okay.
I'm not mocking those who take their silent moment to collect their thoughts.
Right.
When the Broncos beat the Dolphins last week, the kick went up, it went through, everybody runs out of the field to jump up and down and hoot and holler. CBS cuts to Tim Tebow, good directing, and there he is on one knee, fist to forehead, praying.
Right.
No one else is around him, they're all going out there to celebrate. So somebody set up a site called Tebowing.com, Tebowing. .com.
It describes it as a verb to get down on a knee and start praying, even if everyone else around you is doing something completely different.
Right.
And there's an entire photo gallery of people Tebowing.
It's the new planking, and I'm not making that up. It's the new planking. People sent in their photos.
Yep.
We're talking little kids. We're talking
people
all over the globe.
Denny's.
Aliens.
Aliens are doing it.
The alien from the green suit from It's Always Sunny, that guy. So people are kneeling down and putting their fist to forehead and praying. Now, it kind of got personal yesterday because the Lions did it. That's who beat the Broncos twice after sacking Tebow. So Stephen Tulloch, you could Google Stephen Tulloch, T-U-L-L-O-C-H.
Yeah, here he is.
He sacked Tim Tebow, and when Tebow's down on the ground, he kneeled right behind him did the Tebow, or started Tebowing, or however one describes that.
Wow.
Right in front of him. So
kind of mocking him, of course. But Tebow, I'm sure Tebow didn't say anything, right?
He didn't say anything. He said all the right things. And you know what? CBS on their pregame show had him a pre-taped interview probably from Friday or Saturday, had Tebow on yesterday
morning. Talking about Tebowing?
And they asked him about it. And he laughed about it. He said all the right things. The kid doesn't say anything wrong. He said, you know what? I had a little kid, a cancer patient, send me a photo of him T-bowing, as you call it, from Children's Hospital.
Yeah.
And wow, that just warmed my heart. I think it's awesome. So he says all the right things. Nothing sticks to the kid other than the other 11 players tackling him. and I have nothing against him personally. It's just
Do you think he's going to make it in the NFL? I mean, there are a lot of guys.
He can't.
As a quarterback.
There are a lot of guys who look like they can on paper or whatever, and then they get there and they just can't do it.
He's an amazing athlete, and he's an amazing football player. He just can't really throw. So... Ralph, what? Like a fullback, a tight end?
Can he play something else?
Yeah, he's a big physical athlete. But
he can play tight end then.
He can absolutely play tight end, but
just not
can't be a quarterback.
It's only six games as a starter.
Yeah,
I mean, or five games.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is will he get his feet under him or whatever? But you're saying he can't throw.
He deserves time. Have the tools. You don't want to. There have been plenty of people written off after five games.
Of course,
in any league.
Right.
I'm trying to be fair, but most reasonable people who have played the game, and I'm taking their opinions and trying to pass them along. I didn't play above junior high. Go ahead. I know that. Most reasonable people look at him and say he can't succeed in the NFL as a quarterback.
Mm.
But people love him.
He
has a hardcore fan base. He does.
Him. Period.
And largely because of his personality and his religious beliefs and stuff, which is all fine and dandy.
Part of it.
But it's not going to get the job done.
No.
What about the game tonight? San Diego Chargers, Kansas City Chiefs.
This should be an interesting game.
The Chiefs, you know, a month ago were done. Their coach was fired. They were done. Period. Pack them up.
Pack them up.
Now they're 3-3.
Turns out.
They've won three games in a row. The Chargers have to prove that they can beat a good team. Chargers haven't beaten a good team all year.
Okay.
Not one. So the Chargers have to prove they can beat a good team. They have to do it on the road. Arrowhead, Monday night. It used to be the loudest building in football. Hasn't been in recent years, but it'll definitely be loud tonight. It's a good game. Definitely a good game. And we have our post-game show on NFL Network afterwards.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes, sir.
All right. Andrew Siliano, love having you in on Mondays.
Take a look at
the NFL.
You guys go Tebow.
You're the best.
We go Tebowing. Eing. Sorry.
.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9:42. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here for one final look at the showbiz beat for today.
Kim Kardashian and Chris Humphries divorcing.
What?
Humpdashian, as they were known.
They weren't known as that.
Cardfries. Kim Fries.
Yeah. So that happened.
Yeah. They were married 72 days ago.
72 years ago. That would be impressive.
That would be impressive. Getting divorced after 72 years of marriage would be hilarious. Big hubbub. E! Had their wedding specials, showed them.
Two-part.
$20 million spent on the wedding.
Yep.
It's okay. They made $15 million, I think, on the deal.
You mean they pocketed $15 million after all the costs?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's all over.
Wow.
Sources close to the couple say it's not a nasty breakup.
No, of course.
They just realized that they're not a long-term fit. Something you might want to have a conversation about before marriage.
You think it's real? You think it was just done for the TV show?
I know the marriage was real. It was legal. It was official.
That's not what I meant. But do you think they were in love? Or do you think it was a... Hey, we need to do something on the show to get ratings.
Stories coming out from close to both parties say that it's coming down on where they're going to spend the rest of their lives, where they're going to live. Chris Humphries apparently is from Minnesota, wants to live there.
No one wants to live there, let's be honest.
Except people who were raised there, I guess. Yeah. Can you imagine Kim Kardashian leaving Los Angeles to live in Minnesota?
No, and neither could he.
Yeah, right.
Come on.
I wouldn't think he would expect her to.
So he wants to live in Minnesota. Kim apparently wants to have sex with black football players. So they have a difference of lifestyle there, which I think is the problem.
Sure.
So that happened. We should get to punch her in the face now.
Well, is that how it works?
I think, yes. After you've shoved your wedding down our throats for 6 months.
And made a fortune off it.
The next E! Special should be each of us going up and just slapping her in the forehead. Not hard, just a pop. Just a pop. Just a, maybe... Like a flick, like pop,
like that. So it might hurt after a while.
It'll
but
sting.
No,
it'll
leave a mark. But it, you know, not serious. Not like a balled up fist kind of punch. But we all get to do it. Just a long line of millions of Americans standing in line, just waiting to flick her right in the forehead, in the
back of her ear, maybe.
Oh, flick her ears. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, it's annoying.
I don't like them at all. That E Network, they're just loaded full of boneheads over there.
It's pretty accurate.
Chelsea Handler and Kardashians. It's like the douchebag network over there. What's going on? Hey, Taylor Swift, topless pic or not?
Woo!
You be the judge. You be the judge. Is that Taylor Swift? Is that Taylor Swift's naked little tiny boobies there? Or
no,
not?
That's not her at all.
It's not her.
Huh.
Oh, it's not her.
I don't think so.
Well, you need to take a good close look,
well,
sir.
Let me see it. I'll all take right. a good close look.
Take a good close look at that photo and tell me, is that her without makeup? Is that her sans makeup stretched out on the bed?
Actually, could be.
Yeah, uh-huh. Well, Taylor Swift says it's not her.
It sort of does look like her without makeup.
The website is celebjihad.com. They are showing that picture. Their headline says Taylor Swift topless photograph? Question mark.
Yeah.
So they're not claiming necessarily it's her. They'd say, wow, this sure looks like Taylor Swift, doesn't it?
Her legal
team is going apes over there about this whole thing. They are threatening legal action against the website, demanding they take the photo down. She's being wrongly identified. It is trademark infringement. What, did she have her nipples trademarked? I don't understand. How is that a trademark infringement? False pornographic images and false news, they claim. Lawsuit, 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 lawsuit. They're screaming at the top of their lungs. To which I answer, if it's not her, don't sweat it, legal team.
Although, maybe they're just upset because they're saying it's her and it isn't. I don't know.
Just say it's not her. We'll all go about our merry way. Let this young lady, whoever she is, flaunting her boobs, flaunt them.
Pretty cute.
Don't worry
girl,
about it.
That girl's pretty cute.
No one thinks any less of Taylor Swift. I would think more of her if Taylor said, those aren't my boobs. These are my boobs.
Have a press conference.
That's right. And I would like say, it. That's that. Now that's someone I can get behind.
And I like to get behind her, too. You know what I'm saying?
No.
You know what I'm saying? Get behind her.
Be on her side, you mean?
Oh, never mind.
Take her side in the argument?
It's Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Puss in Boots was number one this weekend. $34 million made it so. Paranormal Activity 3 came in at number 2 with $18.5 million. In Time, the new Justin Timberlake thriller, made $12 million. That put it at number 3. Footloose and The Rum Diary round out the top 5. The new Johnny Depp film made $5 million this weekend. Real Steel, The Three Musketeers, The Ides of March, Moneyball, and Courageous rounding out the top 10. While we're talking about movies, Jim Henson's company has announced that Fraggle Rock is returning as a full-length feature film up on the big screen.
All right!
Fraggle Rock has a lot of fond memories for a lot of people who watched it when it was on HBO in the 80s and early 90s. A great, great series that a lot of people love. Perhaps for the theme song as much as anything else. Get your cares away. Worries for another day. Let the music play. Down at Fraggle Rock. Yeah!
Down at Fraggle Rock.
Love that show. Fraggle Rock's coming to the big screen. You excited?
Never saw it.
You excited?
Never saw it.
You're excited.
I'm excited.
I can tell you're excited.
All right.
What else do I have? What other sounds do I have over there? Get your cares away. Worries for another
day. Let the music play. Down at Fraggle Rock. You're saying that's good?
I love that song.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Ron Rifkin from Alias. He was Arvid Sloan on that show for several seasons. The bad guy, you may remember, 72 so years old today. Peter Jackson. timing. Director of Lord of the Rings and soon to be The Hobbit.
Sure.
He's directing that film as well. 50 years old today. Larry Mullen, drummer for U2, is 50 as well. Dermot Mulroney is 48 years old. Mike O'Malley, the actor who plays Kurt's dad on Glee, is 46. Ad Rock of the Bee Boys, he is 45 years old. Rob Van Winkle, Vanilla Ice, 43 years old today.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding. Old.
Ding, 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 ding. Eddie K. Thomas, American Pie, How to Make It in America, he's 31 years old. Guitarist Frank from My Chemical Romance is 30 years old.
He just gave up on the lesson.
And Willow Smith. She whips her hair. Don't let haters me off my line. My hair, I know I'll be fine. Keep fighting until I get there. When I'm down and I feel like giving up, I'll sing again. I wear back and forth, I wear my hair
tried to get a clip that's longer before it gets to the chorus.
Yeah. We're like, we're looking at you like, what the hell song is this?
Yeah. Willow is 11 years old today. She is whipping the F out of her hair right
there. She is.
Dude, that's a lot of whipping. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.